Ladies and gentlemen, adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office on the bulletin every week. And the bulletin board in the post office and the Borough Hall. The notice was also published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Ms. Phillip?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Parrott?
Here.
Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Well, I'm going to open my mayor's report with a matter of some delicacy. As of a few hours ago, the toilet in the Borough Hall, in the hallway, started experiencing problems. So it does work, but you have to read the note, the top of the tank, if you want to flush. So make sure to just look at the little red note, and then you'll know what to do. And if you can hold it till you get home, that's probably better. Okay, we have a few things for the one to talk about for tonight. We will be filling the vacancy on the council, the vacant seat, which became vacated when I was elected mayor. And we'll also be talking about the snow that we had on Saturday. It was the first snow of the season. And I'll let Public Works discuss the handling of the storm. And then we also, at some point, we're going to have a discussion about first aid. Some new information has come to my attention that needs to be discussed. So right now, though, we'll go on to the appointment of the council member filling the vacant seat.
I'd like to make a motion to present the name of Cody Parker as a council member.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Okay. Hold on. Is there any discussion?
If there's...
Yeah. No.
There's discussion.
Oh, at this point? I didn't know if it was at this point. Or you just...
Yeah. No, if any of the council members want to discuss the motion, there's certainly...
On a question? Is Cody here tonight?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion or questions? Okay, roll call.
Ms. Phillip?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so 5-0.
Congratulations, Cody. Would you like to come up and be sworn in?
Yeah.
A brave man.
Is there a seat?
Yeah,
there's one over here.
No, Cody, you have to be. You need to be sworn in.
Okay.
Cody, you can come behind if you want. Come around here. This way you can be next to the clerk. She's going to have something this way. Thank you.
There you go.
Yes.
Tiptoe
through here.
That was nice and cozy back here.
Okay, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Cody Parker.
I, Cody Parker.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
Of the State of New Jersey.
Of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
And to the government established.
And to the government established.
In the United States.
In the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly perform.
And justly perform.
All the duties of the office.
All the duties of the office.
Of council member.
Of council member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Okay, congratulations. Okay. Your term is from tonight until the certification of the general election in November 2018. So I just need you to sign and put your address, and then I'll fill in the term of office. Okay? And then your seat is down there. You can give that to me at the end.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There's a lot of cords. I know. We have to do something about
this
that.
This is your council packet. I see the agenda.
Come to the public comment section of the meeting. Bert.
Bert Owens, 22 Homestead Lane. But before I start, I'd like to show you why I was so confused a couple of meetings ago about the blue book. This is the blue book, which is in the office of every contractor, every architect, everybody who has anything to do with building construction in the state of New Jersey and New York, and probably the other 46 states, or the 48 states.
And as I told you, as I gave you a note at the end of the meeting, the Blue Book in Athens actually referred to a vendor, which was called Blue Book Inc., which wasn't that Blue Book.
I appreciate that. Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, I have a couple number of questions. On the appointment of a third part-time employee, I guess I missed the rationale behind that. We now have three part-time employees, $25 an hour, male. Replace one full-time female at about $18 an hour. So I don't really quite understand that. Especially I don't understand it since I have not seen any job descriptions for these people. I assume the job descriptions have been prepared, and those job descriptions will identify somebody, some council member, to whom these people report, and how they report, and how they are sent, or ordered, or whatever, however you want to phrase it, to do some work. How are their hours memorialized? Who oversees them? In what budget line do their salaries appear? I don't see anything in the budget over here that says anything about part-time employees. do they get all employee benefits? Do they get time off? Do they get vacation days? Do they get pensions? Do they get insurance? Does, in fact, our borough insurance cover these people? And if so, in what ways? Does it cover them anything in their job description? Do they have to work with rotating machinery? Do they have to work with or near hazardous materials or in hazardous conditions? Do they have to perform anything that's hard labor? I have to tell you, in all years I've been in various businesses and been in charge of lots of people, I've never heard of part-time employees who had no job description,
There's a job description.
Is there a job description now?
Yes.
That's very good. There wasn't before.
Yes, there was.
When the first ones were hired, I was asked about the job description, and I was told to move chairs around, to clean things.
That was the job description.
I do not want to argue with you, Peggy.
Please get to your point.
I do not want to argue with you, Peggy.
Bert, please get to your point now.
I'm making my points, and I haven't heard a response yet. I don't expect to hear a response until later, because that's not the way this council is supposed to run. So the question is, what separates these part-time, whatever they are, employees from casual labor, which is what we used to call people we picked up on the street? On the salary, there's a salary schedule.
The salary schedule includes an awful lot of people we don't have on this council. We don't have on this government. Are these required by law or not? Or is this a guess, or is this a wish list? And if it's a wish list, are we really talking about the salary ranges that are in this list? Are we really saying a borough clerk could have a minimum salary of a maximum of $65,000? I mean, the numbers are crazy. And does it mean that the people on this list, the positions on this list, which are not presently filled, are intended by the council to be filled? Is that what we're looking forward to? Can you revise the salary schedule? Can you take out the list from this list people you do not intend to employ and only list those people you intend to employ? And just as a little aside, rumor has it that council is considering hiring an administrator. Is there any truth to those rumors? Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything for public comment? Jeb.
I'm not going to say your name and address, please.
Jeb Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive. Last meeting had me thinking about meetings and how they work. And there's no way that I think these meetings can go on for such a long time. But I realized that this council is really faced with an enormous number of tasks. And that you're trying to do things in the most productive possible way. And I think in the last meeting, a lot of good ideas came up, but a lot of things seemed to me to get lost. And it wasn't clear who was going to address what. And as an aside, I think a borough administrator is a great idea, but that remains to be figured out. So I have what is probably a very presumptuous recommendation to the council about how to operate what I think would be more efficiently, which is, first of all, I think that when the public brings up issues, sometimes they're brought up in with a certain tone of hostility, and it's difficult, and you feel attacked, and you become defensive. And I would suggest that you just forget about the defensiveness and that there be a system, because it seems to me that no matter what the tone is of the things that are brought up, they are all legitimate issues that the public is concerned about in presenting to the council, regardless of their reasons. And I would like to see the chairs of the different council meetings claim each issue that's brought up by the public. For instance, the issues that Bert just brought up. So in terms of the borough employees, would that go to Public Works or administration?
Well, I'll respond to
The point is
during my report.
I think that the mayor could say, okay, this is the concern of this committee, or if that doesn't happen, the committee chair can say, okay, I claim this issue, I'll put it on our list of issues.
We do that to an extent.
Well, but it doesn't happen efficiently. It doesn't happen as a set system, and I think that's what's needed. And, I mean, as Bert said, he wasn't looking for an immediate response, but I'm sure he's looking for a response, and his issues are, have to be taken seriously. So then I think in committees what would work well is that if each committee has even a seemingly endless list. If each committee makes a list of all the issues that seem to pertain to that committee and then prioritizes them, and then also, as a separate thing, sorts out things that are simple and can be taken care of right away. But, and then I think, you know, there'll be an order for what to work on in what order. And then I think that at the following meeting, issues that people brought up at the previous meeting should, you know, have a response of some sort. It could just be that this is where you are. Actually, we have these other issues that are the main priority, so although yours is serious and we've taken note of it, it's number 50 on the list or something. You know, give them either an answer or some sense of how you're thinking about their issue, not that it just floated off in the ether somewhere. And I think that rather than trying to sort out everything as it comes up, that would work much more smoothly, and the meetings maybe could just be a couple of hours long. I don't know. But anyway, that's my suggestion.
Thank you. Jeff?
Jeff Allentuck, 40 Pine Drive, Roosevelt, New Jersey. I'm going to second the comment about expect hostility and get over it, because I sat up there for 12 years and got a lot of hostility and had to learn to get over it. I hate to correct my father, but his comment was that we had hired three people at $25 an hour to replace a woman at $16 to $18.50 an hour. I would like to point out that what we're replacing is half of what her job was. She was also the deputy clerk in the OEM. And along that line, I just noticed, and thank you, Dad, for pointing this out, at the bottom of the list of salary ranges, I see superintendent of public works, $22,000 to $45,000. Where'd that come from? I mean, we paid somebody $16-$18 an hour for the last, I don't know, 8 years to serve as superintendent of public works and as OEM and as deputy clerk and as the public works worker. So we're now up to $25 an hour per, plus a superintendent of public works of up to $45,000?
That was on from Resolution 15-0.
It's an old one?
Yeah, so that has never changed.
Maybe it should get removed.
What year is that from?
2015
ordinance on there. I could look back and see how far that's been there. I don't know.
Yeah. What was that there originally?
Probably been for...
I think the appropriate response is I have no memory of that. Right.
And so it's something that we did not add on.
Right. We had done, you and I, and it was done earlier. Going back to, and by the way, I don't think that $65,000 for a full-time borough clerk is too much. I think we paid our last one about $95,000 all in with the various jobs. Citizens Advisory Committee is on the list. How's that being formed?
Are you talking about under old business, that number?
Yeah,
three?
Yeah, I'm just sticking with the stuff that's on the...
Something that had been brought up. There was nothing... decisive was ever, I mean, it's just something that it was a suggestion of
something. Okay. And the last thing was, I believe there was an administration committee meeting in the last couple of weeks. Was that announced somewhere? Because I couldn't find it. Was there a meeting?
I'm not on the administration committee.
I'll ask the administration chair.
It was on the calendar of the borough website.
Okay, I didn't see it, but...
It's still there. Look.
Huh?
It is still on it.
I believe you. I believe you. Okay. That was it. Anything else is not on the agenda, so we'll deal with it later. Thank you.
Mary?
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive.
think we knew in November, but then maybe officially heard from Eitan Grunwald that regretfully he is resigning from Environmental Commission. He's just done a wonderful job. But I was hoping that an appointment would have been made like this evening. He indicates he's moving in January, and there's very little time to have somebody appointed to work with him and, you know, get updated on everything he's doing so we have a smooth transition. So I hope somebody will be appointed very soon. And then just, I guess, a question I had. A very nice job was done on the snow plowing, it looked like. But if we have... I guess now it's three people indicated they are not working more than 24 hours a week, 25 hours a week. I can't remember exactly. Well, what happens if we have some, you know, big snowstorm or something happens and we are required to have people for more time than is allocated? Do we have a sharing agreement with Hightstown or Millstone or something to help with plowing or other things?
Yes, we have definitely some other things in place, and also our own people could work overtime, could work more hours. But we also have, we have arrangements for backup. Beside our own people plowing, we have arrangements. Right now we have an arrangement, we have shared services with the county. They salt and brine our roads now. I don't know if you noticed, by Friday afternoon, all the roads were brined. I don't know if that's a verb, but all the roads, there was brine on all the roads. Right. And then our public works department plowed, and then after they were done plowing, the county came back and salted the roads. I won't go into it too much because I'm sure it's part of public works report. Yeah. But so we do have shared services with the county now. We have our own public works for plowing, and we are in the middle of making arrangements for backup plowing in case we have a real blizzard or huge snowstorm.
Okay, so when it says maximum of... There could still be overtime, I guess, even though if it says maximum.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be glad to cover some of that in my committee report, but there is a lot of flexibility there. I don't think they can't average over a certain amount of hours. If they do, they're entitled to get benefits. So one of the advantages of having several part-time employees is that you can use them. You not can incur overtime expenses, and you're not going to kick in where you have to give them benefits. So you can... put together various configurations of employees depending on the need. If there's a big snowstorm or another storm like Sandy, it might be helpful to have a number of employees, but they can be put together in any kind of configuration. I'll be glad to cover that.
Okay. And one other thing, I was just wondering where the salary ranges came from. Like on with the Board of Education, you would get a sample policy, and you know it would kind of give you approximations of salaries or job descriptions and things like that. So I'm just wondering, did this salary ranges come from another community or Monmouth County?
It came from our previous...
previous ordinances.
And resolutions, yeah.
Yeah, so this one, 15001, was adopted. Just
like a reprint.
Ever.
Yeah, it's a reprint of what...
So it's something we've already had.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we've had it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
For a very long
number of years, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Bert?
Yeah. Councilperson Parrott said that the meeting of her committee was published on a website. I don't believe that's a legal publishing. It's not, as you say, that this meeting was published as required by law in on the bulletin board and in two newspapers.
Email
doesn't qualify.
You're correct, except the meeting wasn't a public meeting in a legal sense because there weren't a quorum of the council. So it was public in the sense that the public was allowed to come and it was advertised, but it didn't require, since it wasn't a public meeting within the definition of the Open Public Meetings Act, it didn't require the types of notice that you're describing.
So... there were no more than three members of the borough council at that meeting.
Well, I wasn't there. So.
Maureen? I'm sorry, Councilperson Parrott?
You can answer.
Yes, the committee's three people, and that's the only council members who attended.
Okay. Thank you. But I want to go back. Sorry, I want to go back to the email. I look at the Borough Council emails as often as I get in front of my computer, which is fairly often, and I can't say I've ever noticed a notice about a committee meeting.
You're talking about the website or the emails?
The email that you publish. The email that the Borough Council publishes.
The website.
Yeah. I get these little notices, you know, there's an email from the Borough Council, where we have the agendas, we have other notifications.
Okay, that's an email blast that comes. Anything that gets posted to the website, you're going to get that from the webmaster. At night, it shoots it out. Yeah.
Okay, it's although there were not a quorum of people from the council at the meeting, I still think that since we say that meetings are published and we say where they are published, I think it should continue under that rubric.
Thank you.
Sharon Walls, 23 North Valley. I would like to invite anybody who's running committee meetings, if they want to shoot me an email, I can post on the Borough Bulletin Facebook page. It's just another way to get that public information out there so that you can have maximum public attendance. Most of you have my email except for Cody because he's new.
I get it.
Thank you.
Quick follow-up. I think there's some confusion because I didn't get an email either. So I don't think that when it gets posted on the website, it's automatically going out on the emails. So if that's the intention, you should probably talk to the webmaster. And I did have one question. I hate to ask it, but Cody, did you move back from South Brunswick? And are you permanently living in Roosevelt?
Point of order.
Okay.
One direction to the chair.
Peggy?
Yes.
Would you please ask Mr. Parker if he's moved back from South Brunswick? And the reason for my question is that he was rejected as a voter during the last election, the election prior, because his residence was South Brunswick.
His residence is Roosevelt.
I'd like to hear him say his residence is Roosevelt.
Cody, you can answer.
My residence is Roosevelt.
So you have moved back from South Brunswick?
Yes, I went to Rutgers, so that's why I lived in New Brunswick for about 2 years in a house. And when I voted at that time, that's where the discrepancy.
But you have moved back?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Bob Clark, Lake Drive. I would like the council to take a stab, and I'm addressing the agenda item, which is the public portion. Take a stab at doing what the emergency council, the advisory council on emergency services did, which is to call upon people as you encounter agenda items who have something to say about the particular agenda items. It worked very well in that context. It just required an occasional control by the chair to make sure that people didn't go on and on about a single item and weren't redundant and that sort of thing. But it was not something that led to chaos or any kind of problem in controlling the time. And I think we would probably be halfway through our agenda by now if we didn't have the public comment at the beginning, followed by another public comment at the end, but instead had a procedure where we simply had people who had something to contribute on a particular issue that we're encountering on the agenda be able to speak up and be recognized by the chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, we come to correspondence. First one is a letter that we've received from the State of New Jersey Department of Health, dated November 17th, 2017. And that, I believe, is on the website, Joe, is it not? That letter? Maureen?
Which letter? The one from the DET or the one from...
No, we're talking about this one. And Aetons. Those are the two on their first one.
Yeah, Aetons. It is on the website. And this letter is, I believe, the confirmation of the fact that we have no fines.
Correct.
Right. So.
For the IAQ, indoor air quality.
Right. And then the second letter is the resignation letter, the formal resignation letter. We've been told, we knew previously, but we have a formal resignation letter from Eitan Grunwald, dated December 2nd, 2017. Come to resolutions. Somebody like to offer resolution 17-128?
I'll offer 17-128, payment of bills.
I'll second.
Roll call or discussion? Council discussion.
Council discussion on payment of bills.
Well, I would like to comment that I was very pleased that the bills were included with our packet. The bills themselves were included. It made it much simpler. The invoices themselves were included, not just the list of who was to be paid, and I would like to thank the staff for doing that.
Any other discussion? Roll call, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Phillip?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution 17-129. Someone like to offer that?
I'd like to offer 129.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
I have a question. I'm sorry I wasn't able to contact the committee chair, Public Works Committee chair, to ask him about this, but I really don't have any context or knowledge, being a member of the Public Works Committee, that we were going to hire a third person. I knew about the first two, but so could I get some background from you, Mike?
Sure, I can do that now, or I can do it as part of my report, however.
Well, then we'd have to table this discussion, because I don't have enough background on it to vote on it right now.
Yeah, the thinking again was that there's value in having several very part-time public works employees with different skill sets for different tasks. This particular person has been volunteering and doing a lot of work already for the borough, helping to clear out the trailer that's rented at $410 a month, bringing in boxes from there, working with Anna Debevic, our custodian, well, not custodian of records, but the person who's in charge of records, and trying to free up that space. And so he has time, and he wants to do that kind of work, the work that we need to do inside to get organized, cleaning out that first bay over here, and he's expressed an interest. He's done a lot of other work for the borough on a volunteer basis, and I encouraged him when I saw the work that he was doing on a volunteer basis to apply for one of the public works positions.
And so he was interviewed?
He was interviewed along with the other two people that we hired, and quite frankly, all three had different skill sets and different abilities, and I thought it would be an interesting way to work the Public Works Department by having three very part-time people who you use according to what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And so he was definitely someone who we wanted to hire.
We all understand that with the Public Works meetings I was a part of, that we had the discussion, a third person hadn't come up, so that's why I was surprised to see this.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask that any of this kind of important change in decisions or whatever is brought up to all the committee members before.
Sure. What was discussed was possibly hiring more than one. I don't think we put a limit on it or said that we would hire.
My understanding from those meetings was two. So I'm just assuming that this is in our budget, and because we didn't have a chance to discuss this, I don't like to discuss it at a council meeting. Ergo, it'd be great to have these discussions and meetings.
Okay.
So I wasn't.
Point taken. It's not a
right.
It's a budget kind of consideration only when you tally up the hours.
Yeah.
And when they exceed a certain amount, but the hours and the way that they're going to be managed, which I'm going to be glad to go over with my report, it won't exceed any kind of budget line items for that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the background.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Yep. I have concerns in that with the three employees, that would mean we'd be authorizing 72 hours a week. And that is what it would be, 24 times 3. Maybe my math is wrong, but did we have anybody ever work that many hours before for Public Works?
What happened before was that because it was one person, there was quite a lot of overtime.
There were times where our Public Works employee worked many, many hours doing many different tasks and got overtime for it, too, because that person worked very hard. When you look at the hourly rate that we're paying for people, and when you consider overtime and the fact that if you have a bunch of part-time employees, you may not have to incur overtime, actually the $25 per hour rate is reasonable because you're not going to incur a lot of overtime hours. There's a surprising amount of work that needs to be done, and even in a town this size, and a lot of different types of tasks. But again, I'll be glad to go over that with the committee report, but in terms of voting on this, I thought it would be a good thing because there could be a time where you have an emergency situation where you need one, two, or three Public Works people. There could be times where people are absent or sick or injured or have family emergencies or out of town on vacation. We don't pay for vacation. We don't pay for benefits. So I like the idea of having redundancy within the system with Public Works employees that can do different things. Some jobs may require two people. If you want to remove some big, large tree limbs that fall across the road, you may not want to just send one Public Works employee out there and say, go move that tree, because they're liable to get injured. So it would be helpful to have somebody to help one Public Works employee to do that kind of lifting. A lot of jobs require two or three people, and a lot of small towns have a lot of small part-time positions like that that they can configure and reconfigure. And that's what that was the thinking.
Well,
on
I just wanted to add that the 72 hours is sort of a cap. It doesn't mean that every week there'll be 72 hours worth of work done by the three employees.
But if the council authorizes it, then we would have the council or the body had no way of controlling it not being 72. In other words, if we authorize 72 hours, I don't get reports of how many hours any employee works.
I'll be glad to get reports from Public Works employees. I can tell you right now, we're up to 21.5 hours for Greg Defoe, who was hired over the last 2 weeks, which includes snow plowing hours and hours fixing machinery and getting things fixed so that we could actually do the work that we were doing. And I think the other employee had about 4.5 hours in so far. So they're being managed to and I'm looking at total hours worked in terms of budget line items. So God forbid, I hope we don't have a situation where we have to work three employees 60 hours a week. That would mean there's some crisis or something going on where you really, have to have that many employees working. But
I'm just expressing my concerns, and it does get to, as Mr. Allentuck mentioned, it does get to the idea of who's supervising them. And since we don't have any supervisor of Public Works, that would mean that it would be either the mayor or the chair of Public Works. It's a lot of work to do that.
I was going to cover this in my committee report, but since this is coming up under an action item, right now I'm supervising the Public Works employees along with Anna DeBevick. And they are punching in. They are signing time cards. They're task-oriented, so I'm asking them to report in to do a specific task, and I'm monitoring the hours that they spend on that task. And I have a pretty clear idea of how many hours I think the task requires, and I will tell them I don't want you to spend any more than 2.5 hours on this task, that kind of thing. Then I'll ask another Public Works employee to do a similar, a different task, depending on their skill set. And that's the way we're handling it right now. It may change in the future if we have a borough administrator part-time, but right now it's being handled, you know, really just through tasks and what needs to be done.
I mean, I think that's terrific that you're doing it. It's a lot of work and effort, and as long as you're going to continue doing that. So you're saying you're going to continue that unless, what, there's an administrator hired?
Well, I think the council needs to come up, and an administration probably needs to figure out how do we want to supervise employees and how should we structure that. And that's fine with me, but right now, yeah, I'm doing it because it needs to be done. And that's the basic criteria. What needs to be done, and if it needs to be done, we'll do it. But I think you're right, because you never know. I may be on a different committee when we reorganize the council. Somebody else may be chair. They may not want to do that, or may not be able to do that, or may not have enough knowledge of public works tasks and duties. And so I think there does need to be something that's a little more permanent, and that's in an administrative kind of structure for that. At least I would hope so.
Any other discussion?
For the past 4 months or so, I put in a lot of time myself, and I can't do it anymore. And watching the Public Works guys that we have doing this stuff, and I can really appreciate that the time they're putting in and the task that they are accomplishing. And I'll say that I met Dave, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months ago, and he has probably put in more time volunteering than I have doing my thing.
Yeah, I was going to add that myself. I'm not sure if people realize
that
Mr.
He built
Curtis
that
is fairly
built
new in
bulletin,
town.
That he built the bulletin board?
Built the bulletin board. He's been taking out our trash and recycling every week. He's volunteered.
That he emptied the back of the pickup truck and took all of the toxic chemicals over to Chapteau Road. And
he put up the Yale signs on Tamara.
Yeah, all of this that he's done has been as a volunteer.
Yeah.
And it's been quite some time, so...
There are a lot of people that want to help in town here, and he has really done his share of helping, I'll say that. So.
I agree.
I have another comment, which is that there's just a typo at the be it further resolved, that, you know, at the very end it says Anna D.E. The resolution itself.
On 17-129?
Yeah, the one I have. Look at the very last, be it further resolved, at the end of that sentence.
Oh, yeah. I will add Anna's.
Anna D.
Anna D.
I do read things.
Thank you.
And I just want to add that the comments that I made have nothing, no reflection on Dave Curtis. It's just, and I think it's well taken that everybody... especially folks on the respective committees need to be informed before a resolution is being put forward. So it has no reflection on the candidate.
Yeah, and any of my comments have no reflection. I have only positive and glowing things to say. My own personal observation of Mr. Curtis, I've seen him doing much of this volunteer work myself, and so my comments are more structural also, and I do echo Robin's concern about the committees in the future. That would probably make sense to have the committee review things before they're presented here.
I do think it was mentioned from the very beginning that more than one person would be hired for Public Works. And there was really never a number given. Any other discussion? We have a vote.
Roll call.
Ms. Phillip?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Mayor, if I might add, that these are all provisional employees. They have to pass background checks. They've already made, two of the three have already made arrangements and made appointments with, it used to be Sega Morpha, whatever, to do the fingerprint, criminal background check, and so on. But they're provisional until they pass that, and that's within the resolution, I think. Thank you.
Thank you. Resolution 17-130.
I move to introduce Resolution 17-130.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
It doesn't have a price. Is that something that normally it wouldn't have a price in there? I mean, I didn't know maybe the price is set by some entity.
I mean, it is set by the TIF. I mean, you know, we don't, but there is an amount that has to be paid to be a member of the TIF. It's like an insurance premium, basically.
I mean, it is on the certification of funds.
Sorry, I didn't see that.
And it's 38,939.70. This was a resolution that they sent to me, so.
Okay, I was just questioning because I wasn't sure because I didn't see a price, that's all. I wasn't criticizing, just asking.
Okay, roll call.
Ms. Phillip?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yeah.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 17-130 passes. Resolution 17-131. Someone like to move that?
I'll offer 17-131.
Second?
I'd like to second it.
Discussion?
May I?
Sure.
And looking at the prices, looking at the quality of their work, I think we should pass this, although I know other people on the council think that it costs too much. My first consideration would be the safety and the health of the community and backup pieces like generators definitely cover that. I have been a vendor. I've been a client. One of the things, and I've mentioned this to everyone I've spoken to about this, is that there are three things that we look at when we place a contract for people to do things for us. Can they do it? Can everybody hear me? Can they do it fast? Can they do it cheap? And can they do it with quality? As a vendor and a client, I would always say I can give you 2 out of 3. If you want it to be cheap, then you're going to have to pick between quality and speed. If you want it to be quality, you're going to have to pick between length of time to do it and cost. So those are the things that we consider. Again, I think we should pass it, but I did say that I would move to table this motion and give anyone that thinks they should come up with a better price, better quality, better speed. I'd say if the council wants, I will table this motion for 2 weeks until the next council meeting to see whether anybody can come up with a better price, quality, or speed. So at the council's leisure, they can take my consideration to table this or not.
Is the discussion on a motion?
Is the discussion, do you, okay, you said you prefer to see it.
I prefer to see it go through.
But you're willing to table it.
But I'm willing to table it, yes.
So are you making a motion to table it?
I'm making a motion to table this for 2 weeks, and it's at the council's pleasure.
Can we discuss this since there's a motion on the table, a first and a second on it? Can we discuss the merits of it, and then I'm willing to consider tabling?
Yeah, because it's kind of a
tabling. Last time, council said that the motion to table takes precedence.
Excuse me. Since we had a motion and a second, let's discuss it before we get to the tabling.
Well, okay. I'd like the attorney to clarify, because last council meeting, motion to table took precedence.
Motions to table take precedence. Motion to table takes precedence over the motion that's being discussed. There's a motion to adopt it, pass this resolution. There's a second, but the motion to table now supersedes that until it's been resolved. So you have to resolve.
Okay, let me withdraw the motion to table until after the discussion. Does that work?
Sure.
Okay.
Discussion?
I move to table.
Is there a second to table?
I thought we were discussing it.
That's what I thought.
Can you say why you
want
to table?
Let's have the discussion, and then after the discussion, someone can move to table.
I move to table. She seconded.
Well, so now we got a second.
Councilor second. You need to have a vote.
Second.
On
okay.
Second.
Oh, okay.
We could have discussion on the motion to table.
No, there's no discussion. There's no discussion on the motion to table.
So is this a roll call for table?
Can we ask for table it for how long? Because this is a timely matter.
2 weeks.
This is a timely matter. We're talking about a possible emergency situation where a generator may not kick on unless we repair it. So I'm reluctant to vote in favor of tabling something indefinitely when repairs need to be done now.
I'll clarify. There are no repairs, just so you know for the record. And the generators all work. And the motion to table would be until the next meeting.
I'm not sure that the generators do work. I think that they, what I've been told is that they work at times and don't work at other times.
The generators work, but if they were taxed, that is, I could see major problems with them. The exhaust and the one at the sewer plant, the exhaust manifold has a hole about 2 inches around in it. And if you run a car or a diesel engine like that is, or a gas-powered engine like that one is, you're going to burn holes in the cylinders. You're going to burn your rings out there.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have a communication from Modern, and right now a hole does exist in the exhaust pipe between the turbo and the muffler. And
yes, it's the exhaust manifold, and it must be replaced.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that. Yeah. Right, but that must be replaced.
And there are other considerations like that also, but...
I'd also like to add that we're expecting extremely frigid temperatures this week, so not sure what kind
of... Well,
if
we're discussing it, then I'll discuss my points. I thought we were having a motion to table, and there was no discussion, but if everyone's to discuss...
But let's back up.
There's no discussion on a table.
Right.
There's no discussion on a motion to table, number one. And number two, the motion by the mover can be made to the next meeting indefinitely. There can be a time at which the motion is made. This motion, as I understand it, the way it's made, is indefinitely postponed.
No, I just to clarify, it was to the next meeting.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry, I didn't.
Okay, and then I withdrew my motion to table pending further discussion
Correct.
Of the resolution.
But Ms. Council Parent made a motion after you withdrew yours.
Yeah.
That's been caused.
So
that's what's on.
Right.
So that's what's
so
on the table. Motion
to table.
We need a vote.
Okay, so we need a vote to table.
Till the next meeting.
In 2 weeks.
Ms. Phillip?
No.
Mr. Hamilton?
I don't have enough information to even vote on tabling it, because I don't know what's going to be done between now and when it appears on the agenda again. So I'm going to have to vote no on the table.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
No.
Oh, did you say yes or no?
Yes. She said yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I can't hear.
Mr. Trammell?
No.
Mr. Parker?
Abstain.
So it's two yes, three no. So the no's have it.
Well, as for not tabling, but that doesn't move the motion. Is that correct?
Correct. Right.
So now we're back to being debating the
discussion. Right. Now we're back to discussion of the of the
discussion,
resolution.
All right. Discussion on the motion. I sent out an email to all the council members, and if you want me to, I'll read that all of the emails in the record, as to raise my concerns as to the price of this. And the primary concern is that prior to November 7th, when we got the original quote from Modern, I sent an email to the committee, the Utilities Committee, in which I'm a member, and asked that we get three quotes for this. It's $7,184, and it is in maintenance. And that is what the email said, that originally in November. And I immediately responded requesting those that we get the three quotes and that we look at the state contracts. I subsequently looked up state contracts myself, and there were seven state vendors that had generator contracts. And the prices are on the New Jersey Department of Treasury website, the hourly rates. I then asked for the two quotes that we got from Modern Group essentially gave no information as to what the work was. It was maintenance on a generator at the sewer plant and maintenance on a generator at the water plant, and each of them was almost $4,000 worth of work, but it didn't say where the $4,000 come from. So after various emails, I myself called Modern Group in Pennsylvania, asked for the head of Modern Group, and said I wanted the quote to specify every penny of what that money was going toward. So we subsequently did get quotes. They're not included in the packet. I'm not sure why. But as a result of my request, I did get those quotes. And the quotes themselves didn't include the hourly rate, but that was included. I thought that was a defect in the quote. It didn't include the hourly labor rate. But the cover email said that it was $135 an hour. None of the state contracts charge, I believe, over $100 an hour. So I don't understand why we didn't get three quotes. If it was so urgent in the beginning of November, they could have been obtained. And my concern is not that Modern Groups is not a quality enterprise. I don't know anything about them at all, and I trust Councilman Trammell's judgment that they are. My concern is that they're very, very expensive. Another example of the quote is that they were asking for $200 in shipping costs. I found that bizarre, because if they're going to come here and install it, why would we have to pay $200 for shipping? They also were charging, for example, this stuck in my mind because it sounded excessive, $7.19 for one clamp. I thought their quote was extremely excessive, and that is mainly my concern. When I got our agenda last week for this meeting tonight, it did include the two. Modern Group was hired, from my understanding, by the council on August 14th for 1 year maintenance contract. That was the date of various resignations from the council. And that was for 1 year, and I believe it was $5,500, and they would come four times and look at each of the four generators in a year, and the only thing they would actually do would be change the oil once on each generator. So that was in place, but the contract, we didn't have to use them for any maintenance. Now, the recommendation that Modern made after they did their inspection, that's where these quotes were generated, but I didn't have the written recommendation until I got the agenda for this meeting.
And on the written recommendation, it only says work is recommended on one of the four generators, not two.
Say that again. What was recommended?
The recommendation, it's in our bills list. Mm-hmm. Modern. There are four. There are four invoices for Modern. And it's one invoice for each generator when they came and looked at them pursuant to the contract signed in August. On Christopher Stone did the maintenance. There's no recommended maintenance on the any of them except for one. And that is the 80 kilowatt at the, I think it's at the sewer plant. Yeah, at the sewer plant. And the only recommendation, technician recommendation, PM Christopher Stone, hole and exhaust pipe between turbo and muffler should be replaced. Thank you for choosing Modern Power. Now, their quote was for almost $4,000 on that. I think it's excessive. Again, that was my reason, and that's why I wanted to table it tonight and have the appropriate person get those quotes, three quotes.
Are you aware there was an email addressed to you from November 8th? I can read it. Per your request, I've contacted another generator company that does repairs. They have a state contract. I've also contacted Modern Group, the company that we currently have a contract with. A little background, the two generators are old and have been neglected for years. It was in Roosevelt's best interest that Modern Group get the contract. They are dependable and thorough, and it would be catastrophic if the generators didn't work. I called Modern Group and let them know that the borough is interested in obtaining another quote for the repairs, despite the fact that we have a contract with them. The other generator company that I called, which has a state contract for generator repairs, has a fee to come and give an estimate for repairs. They're out of Tinton Falls. Their normal hourly rate is $125, but for the government, they would lower to $100 an hour. Their fee would be $100 per hour travel time from Tinton Falls to Roosevelt and back to Tinton Falls, plus another $1.25 per mile round trip. And to diagnose the work needed on both generators would be $100 an hour.
Who signed that?
This is from Anna DeBevick.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
So there was concern that this other company that has a state contract was still going to add up into the hundreds and hundreds of dollars for them to give estimates for something that's imminent, that winter's upon us, and we have to be very concerned about the generators.
Are you finished?
Yes.
I did receive that, and we can have a debate and go through every email sent on this, because that's going to take us a long time. I can read all my emails also, if that's relevant.
Can I jump
But my concern was, first of all, there were six other state contract providers. The name of whoever that was not in that, and none of the contracts themselves online charge $125 an hour, so I don't know where that came from, but there were six others. I did respond to that, but it's still, that was a month ago, and I'm sure that there's something in the contracts about whether they come and charge for mileage or don't. But I consider this, if it's an emergency, it's a self-created emergency by not doing anything for a month. And I think that all of these recommendations say that each of these generators was turned on and they ran for 30 minutes. I don't see it as urgent right now. I feel like whoever did it previously only charged $95 an hour and was not a state contract. So I just don't understand what the impetus is to only use Modern Group. In addition, if someone recommends, if a vendor is doing an inspection, I take my car to Toyota, and they look at it and say, okay, we changed your oil for $50, and now we're going to recommend you do $600 worth of maintenance on it. And I'll say, oh, please give me a written estimate for that. And then I take it to somebody else because they're self-generating work. I don't know cars. So I don't know whether Toyota, I need the $600 worth, so I take it to another mechanic. And that's all I'm saying, is get another opinion on it.
No, I understand. I have a few questions so that I can make a decision based on this. The generators work. People claim the generators work when we turn them on. Is that correct? Do they switch on automatically and not shut off when there's an emergency? I think that's the key thing, because when a plant shuts down, when power shuts down, they have to kick on and then they have to stay on. If they're not maintained properly, they kick on and then they cut off. I've heard it before. I live near the sewer treatment plant.
There
I can
was
hear it when the power fails. I can hear it go on and then boom, it goes off. And that can be catastrophic when you have a plant that's not operational, especially sewage treatment. Because if there's one thing that people want when they pay their utility bills is when they flush the toilet, they want it to work.
Here too.
When they turn on the water, they want it to be, you know, drinkable. They don't ask for very much. But the key thing is, does it actually work the way it's designed to work? If it works and this is maintenance moving ahead to maintain it, I'm all for going for getting other quotes, trying to find a vendor that's more reasonable, trying to look to save the taxpayers' money. But if it's an emergency condition where we really need to have these things so that they kick on and stay on, and they're not, and we're not totally assured that they're functioning that way, I'm in favor of utilizing the modern equipment pricing and get their expertise to get these things working so that when there is a power failure, they kick on.
According to modern, they all work. That's what we have right in front of us in black and white.
Okay.
They all work, but it was about 5 or 6 months ago that the one in the sewer plant went down because the transformer went up on the telephone pole there. It worked for like 15 minutes, then it shut down. The sewer coming into the plant, the gray water, whatever you call it, was within 2 inches of overflowing into the acid tank. So that was almost a catastrophic emergency there. So to me, some things need to be done. Also, Maureen, you did ask these guys, Modern, to give you an itemized list of everything that they were going to do. They did. And on there, they put labor as well as all the parts, including the $15 or $7 clamp that you're talking about. They put all of that there. They didn't say exactly what they were going to do with that stuff, but myself, having walked through these generators with these guys, they showed me and they showed Toby what they were going to do with that stuff. There are things that definitely need to be done. If they can be done cheaper, I'm all for cheap, but I'm also big on quality and big on, like, let's get this done before there's a real emergency again. So,
what personal knowledge do you have regarding the quality of their labor?
I was a vendor and I was a client, and I walked through with these guys and I saw, in my professional opinion, that they knew what they were doing. So,
the key question in my way of looking at it is, do they actually kick on if there's a power failure? And do they run, and are they able to run the plants in their current condition? Or do they kick on and then fail? It's not enough to just go over to a unit like the one that we have back here, go over to it and switch it on. It has to actually switch on automatically from the point where the power fails, which is there's a junction box that's over here on the side of the building. And it better kick on and it better stay running. But my question is, do we know that they are fully functional, that they will do the job they're intended to do, which is kick on and run automatically?
And stay on.
If nobody is sure of that, I would say go ahead and do these repairs. If they're sure, if we have an assurance that they work, that they're in good running order, that they do what they're supposed to do, then I would say let's go and get other quotes and let's go 2 more weeks. It's not a big
well,
deal.
If we trust Modern Group, then according to Modern Group's written invoice, all 4 generators work. And they all ran for 30 minutes. Wiring and connections and transfer switch good. Tightened all hose clamps, ran for 30 minutes, left in auto. nothing on this says that they don't work, and no one says they don't work.
Well, what Mike is saying, though, it's yes, when they switch it on, it works, but I think the concern here is that will it go on automatically and then stay on?
Well, when it failed, when we had the transformer failure at the sewer treatment plant and it kicked on and then kicked off, has any repairs been done since then that are of a significant nature?
Modern came around and changed the oil, put some water in them, you know, as per their service agreement. But they did no repairs. They noted things that needed to be repaired.
Okay. Is there any other pertinent points that people might want to bring up concerning this issue? Or can we go to a vote? Okay. Let's have a vote.
So we're voting to approve Resolution 17-131, correct?
Yes, correct.
Ms. Phillip?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
No.
Ms. Sheehan?
No.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Okay, 4-0.
Four to two.
Thank you.
Okay, Resolution 17-131 passes. We come to ordinances.
This one's gone. Something we introduced.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Why is it on here? Oh, just
didn't
let me just announce.
Yeah, Mayor, I have a question as to why this is even on the agenda, since there's no significant changes in it. It's an existing ordinance.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The hourly ranges have been there for a while.
Well, the CFO did change a few.
Can you highlight what those changes were?
Well, this one, 15-001, there was a change last year to the borough clerk to change it from 25 to 20, and it was changed on one during the year. But every time I keep flipping back to this one that has all the lists, so he adjusted that one. He adjusted the purchasing agent. He adjusted the zoning officer. He adjusted the public works employee.
I was just saying that.
Well, you have to introduce. If it doesn't get introduced, it's got to wait till the new year.
Yeah,
it only can pass in the year that it's got to be introduced and adopted in the same year.
Correct.
So we just up them a little bit. That was it. And this way it has a clean record. That's it.
Okay.
That's the reason.
Well, if you want to introduce it, you can introduce it, and if you're not satisfied with whatever explanations there are between now and the next meeting, you can pull it, or only vote for some of it and remove some of the lines. The lines are independent, so you know whatever questions you have a couple of weeks to resolve them.
So we should introduce it now?
Well, if that's up to you whether to introduce it, but as an introduction, it doesn't have any impact until you vote on it.
Yeah. Okay, well, does someone want to introduce this tonight? 2017-05? Or not? Okay, so then we just...
Who added this to the agenda? I mean, who?
Our CFO.
CFO.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, if no one wants to introduce it, then the item...
goes away.
Goes
away until the next meeting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right, reports?
All right, so.
Yeah, we'll just skip it for now.
Just makes it cleaner.
When you say it goes away, we're tabling it, or we're...
Well, nothing. It's never been introduced, so it doesn't. It's not like a resolution. It has to be tabled if it's been made. It's been added to the agenda, but nobody's moved it. Okay. Nobody's so.
Is there any discussion now, or yes, no?
Well, no. It didn't get. No one moved nobody to introduce it, so okay. We'll just wait.
Well, now that's going to wait until 18. It can't be brought back this year.
Right.
So on the copy that I've got here, it's still 20 for a minimum for the borough clerk. It's not 20.
No, that's the changes I made.
Oh, okay.
Here's 15001.
I mean, salary ordinances can be retroactive back to the first of the year. So if there's some change that has to be made on January 1st, you can make the change and adopt the ordinance January 20th and make it retroactive back to the 1st. So nobody's going to lose anything by waiting. That's why union contracts go back sometimes 3 years of retroactivity.
All right, reports of committee chairs now. Councilmember Michael Hamilton, Public Works. You're on, Mike.
Yeah. There were a lot of good questions from the public about the Public Works Committee and whether or not there was a job description. And there was. We advertised, and there was a job description prior to that, but we even elaborated on it more in our advertisement that went to the League of Municipalities and also several other publications. So there was a good job description that was mentioned. We didn't specify anything regarding hard labor. That sounds like a prison camp, but there is at times some labor that's required that requires some strength as long as the individual can do the job, they were considered as being qualified in that respect. Reporting, there were questions about reporting for public works employees. The public works employees have to sign in on a time card. We can't find the key to the time clock for some reason. That's in Borough Hall. We look through. No, I know. We look through all the keys on the key rack, and keys can sometimes be a problem, but we tested them all out. So we did ask Anna DeBevic to order a key from the manufacturer, which I think is probably a standard key. I don't think it's any particular security key. Once we get that functioning, we can actually physically punch in. But for now, Public Works employees are signing in and signing out, and they're given tasks that require a certain amount of work. The management of the employees are basically being done by myself and also Anna DeBevic, who is overseeing them when they're here and on the job. But basically, I'm interacting with them, giving them tasks to do, setting their hours, giving them a maximum amount of time that I want them working on any particular task, and asking them to report to me via a text so that I have an actual physical record on exactly what they did, how much time was spent, et cetera. The tasks that we give them are tasks that we have seen through our inspection of all the facilities and just by basically walking through the buildings and looking around town and realizing what needs to be done, and then carefully coming up with a description of what work we want the employees to do. As far as budget lines and line items, there are several different budget line items for public works depending on which part of the budget you're looking at. There's the public works department, there's streets and roads. It's kind of broken up into different segments within the municipal budget. And I know many of us, especially who have been in public office and have served as mayor and reviewed budgets, know that it's kind of broken up in a lot of different sections within the municipal budget. But I'm very aware of what those budget line items have in it. And the total amount of hours we're trying to keep to a bare minimum based on the work that actually needs to be done. Benefits, there's no benefits at this position. There's no vacation pay. There's no time off. You want to take time off, you take time off, and you're not paid for it. So the employees were willing to work under those terms. So far, again, Greg Defoe, who has significant mechanical expertise, he had his own garage in New York City and also worked as a plant maintenance manager for a large printing press company. He's put in 21.5 hours over the last 2 weeks since he was first hired, approximately 6 hours operating the snowplow during the recent snowstorm, a number of hours to repair machinery. He repaired the actual snowplow itself, made sure it was fully functional, greased and lubed it. We repaired and he ordered a replacement battery for it. There were some electrical problems with that equipment. The pickup truck and the plow there was a lot of cleanup that needed to be done with that vehicle. The switch for the hydraulic lift had to be replaced. That was replaced by George Vasseur. So a lot of mechanical work has been done by George already. Again, that saves us money because we don't have to send it out to someplace to get things repaired. The leaf blower wasn't working. He repaired that, and then he used it to blow out the side of Borough Hall and someone in the back. The snowblower wasn't working. He repaired that, so that's working and fully functional. That was used during the recent snowstorm for the walkways here and also for the three bays for the emergency services building. So those employees are being used for different various tasks depending on what's really needed. So we're looking at it from a functional perspective. What work is actually needed? We have people with mechanical skills. Greg Poseal is a borough employee already. He works part-time for the utilities on the weekends, and every other weekend he manages the two plants. He has, I think, a Red Seal boiler license. He operates and manages a large plant with three buildings in Bridgewater. And he did a safety inspection, and we did a complete walkthrough of this whole building, and he noted probably 30 or 40 different safety issues that he thought needed to be replaced. And, yeah, it's about time that things were taken care of. Noticed things like smoke detectors, lack of eyewash safety stations where there were chemicals being used on site. He has the eye of someone who's been through many OSHA inspections and knows how to maintain things. The safety lights are supposed to go on. You need to test them. You need to put a sticker on it, and need to note, and you need to note when they've been tested and that kind of thing. And when they do the inspections, then if that's all taken care of, they'll be able to see that we're on the ball and we're actually taking care of those issues. Greg Defoe was our borough truck snowplow operator during the recent snowstorm that we had. There's some real advantages in having several employees because during that snow, he was out on a plow and Greg Poseal was over here making sure the walkways were clear along the Borough Hall, putting out salt if it was needed, and there could be somebody actually here in Borough Hall if there's a snowstorm on the weekend, and we'll be able to respond to anything that might happen. As I said, the borough truck was cleaned out and repaired by a public works employee. The plow was set and adjusted, lubed and gassed up. It needs to be inspected, and we went to Hightstown to see the mayor of Hightstown, Larry Quatron, who has a gas station. Well, it used to be a gas station. It's just a mechanical facility now, and he's going to look at it and probably do an inspection of it too. One of the cylinders isn't operating properly, but we're going to see if we can get Ford to take care of that, but that's a long shot.
Orange,
the plow.
Orange truck.
The truck. Mm-hmm. But the plow was set and adjusted and lubed up. All the borough equipment were gassed up and ready to go. We did some dry runs prior to the recent snowstorm to make sure that people knew where the manhole covers were, because you don't want to nail one with a snowplow. It'll not only will it jar your teeth, but it can ruin the plow. So you have to drive around. You have to kind of look around where all the things are and make sure you're aware of them before the snow hits. So when the snow hits, you know, okay, here's one of those things. We're recommending we put out some cones, too, prior to a snowstorm. We did all the plowing of the roads, the physical plants, the parking lots with our municipal employee. We're also utilizing a shared services agreement that was an existing agreement with the Monmouth County Public Works Department. And I have to tell you that they are a great crew, very experienced, very well managed. They automatically, as per our instructions, pre-brine all of the borough roads. If they know that a snowstorm is coming, and they usually know in advance, they will come out. You might have seen one of the trucks come out and lay down a white, milky kind of liquid. That's brining. If you pre-brine the roads and you have a kind of what we would call a warm snow, which is not, you know, a 10-degree kind of snow, but something around freezing, the brining when the snow hits the road should dissipate the snow somewhat, and it really helps to have it pre-brined. Just to give you an idea, they charge, it was about $140 to pre-brine all of our roads, which includes equipment cost, time, and materials. So to make one road, run through town and pre-brine it, it's a very reasonable rate. Again, they do it automatically. They will also pre-salt our roads before a snowstorm, too. Then after our employees actually do the plowing, we can contact them. They'll come in and salt a second time. So I don't know if you've noticed, but this was a fairly significant snowfall, although I think a perfect snowstorm in a way because it dissipated pretty rapidly. But I think we had about 4 or 5 inches of snow. But we were able to keep up with that snowstorm. We may not always be able to do that. We may actually have to use contractors to keep up with a foot snowfall where you're getting 2 inches an hour, that kind of thing. By utilizing the shared services agreement, we were really able to save a lot of money. Salting of roads cost about $540 an application. We had two applications. Brining was $140. Use of our plow and the driver for runs, including costs of all labor, including maintenance before the storm to make sure that the equipment was operational, and the manpower during it was about $440. So the total cost of this storm for taxpayers was around $1,700. Just to give a comparison, in January of this year, January 2017, there was a similar size snowstorm, and I know we checked on how many inches of snow came because we were trying to look at plowing costs and trying to figure out what it cost. We had a contractor come in, and they charged us $5,400 for plowing and salting of the roads. They didn't do brining. And then we had our own municipal employee operate a snow plow, which generated probably another $400 or $500 in time and effort. So the cost of that January 6th and 7th snowstorm in the beginning of the year cost around $6,000. The cost of taking care of the roads for this storm was around $1,700. So you can see that's a big difference between $6,000 and $1,700. And actually, I think because we have several borough employees doing different functions, one of whom is also going to help Toby out, clear his walkways going and his stairs, because Toby has some trouble getting around. He has a cane now. He needs help. He shouldn't be out shoveling snow and the walkways in the sewer treatment plant, the water treatment plant. So we're actually planning on having one of our borough employees during the snowfall, probably Greg Pusil, who has keys to both facilities, go there and make sure that the walkways are kept clear for emergency purposes there as well. Utilizing shared services, I'm a total fan of that. Of course, you have to be careful to make sure that they're going to be able to respond to you when you need them to, but it's working out really well with the county. We also had a meeting and talked to the Roosevelt Board of Education, and this was actually a subcommittee of the Finance Committee that did that, but I can report on it because Finance really doesn't have a chair right now since Peggy moved from the chairmanship of the Finance Committee to the mayor's position. But we met with the Roosevelt Board of Education, some of the employees. They have a shared services agreement with Millstone, the Millstone school system, and they have various employees that they use through that shared services agreement. So we met with the school is he a purchasing agent, Bernie?
Yeah,
he's the purchasing agent.
He's the business administrator.
Business administrator, yeah. And one of their employees, and we explored becoming part of that shared services agreement as well. They have an HVAC person that they use to do all kinds of heating and air conditioning work, including duct work, installing heaters. They have an electrician that they use that's at a significant savings. And the school does a good job of utilizing shared services with other school districts. But we can tap into that, too. The electrician can do installations and changing up lights from fluorescents to LEDs. He can do new solar installations, too. So if we wanted to put solar panels at any of the facilities that we have, a sewer treatment plant, water treatment plant, to operate some of our lighted signs or retrofit some of these things, that shared services agreement could be utilized as well to save money. So we're trying to pull together a number of sources that we can use for all the work that we need to do as a small community and get the work done and still save taxpayers money. For people who may not be aware, we have Anna DeBevic, who's here pretty much all the time. She's our finance professional. She has a number of borough positions, and she's part of a professional finance team who handles anything financial at the borough. She's here if somebody wants to make a tax payment or a payment on utilities or whatever. Usually they'll encounter Anna. I found her to be very professional, great to work with. I've asked her, in fact, plagued her a number of times to get quotes on different things, and she's always been very responsive and has gotten me some pretty good quotes, which I use to save money for the town. So we do have a team of financial professionals who we're trying to work with to make sure that we can get quotes and prices and to actually get things done, but at a reasonable cost for taxpayers. Now, not all of that falls under public works, but a significant amount of it does because there's a lot of work to be done in terms of maintenance of facilities and buildings and grounds and roads and all of that. So we're working on it. We're going to continue to work on it, and I've asked that we have a public works committee meeting coming up this Monday so we can continue to work on exploring more shared services agreements and continuing on for a lot of the projects that we need to do.
Can I get a question in there, Mike?
Yeah.
Greg Basile, I understand that he's good with generators also?
He has repaired generators, and he's worked and tested them. He had some good ideas as to how to test the generators.
So I think that could come in very handy once these things get on the road.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I haven't seen, actually, his level of expertise with it, but I know he's done that at his plant. I think they have about 6 or 7 generators that need to be maintained and operated and tested. And when we went here and I showed him the generator behind Borough Hall and said, why don't we kick it on and see if it worked, his response was, no, that's not where you kick it on. I want to know where it should be kicked on through the actual electrical circuitry, and we want to test it from there. And I said, the box is over here. He said, let's go test it there. So my feeling was, this is a guy who knows, you know, exactly what he's doing with it from basic experience. So I'm glad to have so many experienced and talented people who live in town, who are available, willing to work very part-time. In fact, I think they're glad not to work full-time, so because it's a lot of work, and I think we'll be able to use them in various configurations for a lot of jobs that we have. There's concrete work that needs to be done at the plants and out in front here with the three bays, and the macadam out there. It's a lot of work, and it all needs to be done, so we're looking
can
at...
Can I just add also that Millstone Board of Education, their business administrator, it's not just that they have all of that available to us, but they were very open to sharing with us. They're very open to providing whatever it is we need.
Yeah, they buy paper by the truckload. We buy paper by the box, right. And one box at a time, and it lasts us for a while. So we're not going to be able to tap into a lot of shared purchasing.
Well, here's
with
the thing.
Them,
they're willing to drop off whatever we need. I mean, they're very open to helping us in any way they can.
But we're networking, and we're trying to find other sources for all the different functions that the borough has to do to make sure that everything's well maintained. And so we have a few different electricians we can choose from, depending on the type of task that's done, that's needed. And so I think it's all going to work out. But yeah, it does need to be managed well. And I'm looking forward to getting some guidance on how we can do that looking forward.
I just have a question because I think I might have not gotten the second page of your report. And I got two with the first page.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so did you.
No, second page is here.
No, but anyway, whatever. I didn't understand. Do we have a shared services agreement with the Roosevelt Board of Education?
No.
Were those?
No, we don't presently, but they're welcoming us to join it.
Millstone.
It's Millstone, Roosevelt, and I think there are a few other districts that are involved, too. So it's a school kind of thing, but there's no prohibition from municipal governments being part of that shared services agreement.
So that could be something that, the committee would look at that and then recommend it, or what?
It could be handled by any committee. It could be finance, it could be administration, it could be, it really kind of falls under a bunch of different committees, I think. So it depends on how.
Maybe we could refer that to a committee. I think it sounds like an excellent idea to refer to a committee to come up with that.
Yeah.
Well, we did. Mike and I and Anna met with, that's who we had the initial meeting with, and that's where we learned everything that they had to offer and that we could avail ourselves of.
Well, what would be the appropriate committee we could refer?
I would think finance, actually, because it seems to be more financial than anything else coming up with these kind of agreements. But, again, a lot of these things span committees, so I'd be glad to bring it up under finance. I'll be on finance in the new year. But
move to refer that to finance?
Okay.
Or is that formally, should we make a motion to refer that? I'll make a motion to refer the shared exploring a shared services agreement with the Millstone Board of Education to finance.
I'll second that, and I'll be glad to bring it up on finance. Finance doesn't have a chair right now, so I'm
can
on
we,
finance.
Do we
but
have discussion?
All in favor?
Discussion?
Nobody.
Discussion.
Because I agree that I really want that to be addressed, that maybe there are several chairs because it will impact several committees, obviously, and the finance chair might not have the information they need from Public Works.
Okay.
So I'm just putting that out there.
Can you tell yourself?
Well, I can articulate with that since I'm on Public Works and Finance
currently,
but I don't know what's going to happen after that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Can I jump in just for a second? Michael Ticton suggested a month or so, a couple of weeks ago, that they used to have super committees, I think you said, whereas maybe administration and finance, everybody could be on the same committee with different heads and then come in and not have to meet it's like if you're on three committees, which we are, and you're on the council also, if everybody met once a month, that would be five meetings a month. And if we doubled up on the committees and did, back-to-back committee meetings with different committees, then there would be less meetings and a little more stuff getting done possibly. But just throwing that out there, it seemed like a reasonable suggestion.
I would say that's something that could be discussed at a reorganization meeting.
Okay. Yeah, good idea.
Okay.
Can we have a vote? All in favor of the finance committee handling the Millstone Board of Education Shared Services agreement?
Yes.
That's all in favor.
Aye. Aye. You finished, Mike?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Councilmember Maureen Parrott, administration.
Administration. The three people on administration are me, Deirdre Sheehan, and Mike Hamilton. And we had a committee meeting on Monday, December 4th. It went from 4 to approximately 7 p.m. The meeting was posted on the calendar, as I mentioned, and a few members of the public did attend it. We dealt with several issues. The first one was the borough website, which is RooseveltNJ.us. Deirdre has, Councilman Sheehan has been working with City Connections, and she designed a beautiful color. She came up with beautiful colors to coordinate with the Ben Shawn mural, and she is has communicated back and forth with City Connections, and the committee was very pleased with her suggestions, and we approved all the colors, and hopefully that's going to be on the website soon. The second was email protocol for employees. The committee agreed that employees who have RooseveltNJ.us emails should check their email at least once a day by 4 p.m. unless the employee is out sick or on vacation, and that the employee shall respond by email within 24 hours to an email from a council member unless the employee is out sick or on vacation. Now, I don't know if that has to be something that the entire council has to approve. Perhaps Mr. Krasick can tell us. Is this a recommendation of the committee, or can the committee?
I don't see that as a committee.
I'm only here, like, certain nights, so I'd only respond when I'm here.
My bad.
Well, that was the point of it, is that sometimes things can't wait. That was the point of why we had suggested it, because certain things...
No, that's not a council vote, really. It's an administrative issue which can be dealt with administratively by the committee. I mean, this isn't something... The council's not going to micromanage, or shouldn't micromanage administrative stuff like that. In my opinion... the council, of course, can decide to vote on the smallest things. But from a legal perspective, there's no obligation for the council to vote on it.
The third item was a recommended protocol on borough's payment for licenses and education. The committee recommended that the borough would not pay for a paid employee's professional license or continuing education that was required to maintain that license. Employees, council members, and volunteers may request in advance that the council pay for other continuing education.
So is this something that the administration committee agreed upon?
Yes.
No.
But I don't know if the council needs to adopt that or not.
I'm not sure that I am in total agreement on that, because I think there are some circumstances where you'd want to borrow employee to take courses, and you'd want to pay for it because it makes them a better employee. So I think there needs to be some leeway in there granted for that.
It says employees, council members, and volunteers may request in advance that the council pay for continuing education. So that
again,
is
this a council matter?
This one's a little trickier, because you're spending money, and I think you do need a uniform policy also to avoid issues of discrimination or unfairness. Need a uniform policy about paying for seminars, improvement.
But do we have that now?
I don't think so. I think a set of rules like that, those are really part of part of an employee handbook, typically, which would be approved by the council, the handbook itself. But
I think there is.
You're looking at the
There is one.
What?
There is an employee handbook. Right?
But does it specifically discuss?
I would have to read it.
It's been there for a while.
So can we?
And I think we have a form now too that Kathleen distributed. For people who want to take a course or something and they want to fill it out.
Yeah, so if we want to go to the League of Municipalities meeting in January, it would be great education for most of us.
And I think that makes sense because for budgeting purposes, you want to know how many people want to go to the League convention, how many hotel rooms, do we want to approve it or not?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think we need to
My union would run that up the flagpole to the to the general public when the times came. We would always do it like a month or so beforehand. You know, you send people out to the convention and stuff like that. They
you
would
mean
also
on a
vote
on an item-by-item basis?
No, like they would first they would say we're going to attend the convention, which was normal. We, you know, it was expected that we would attend it, just like it would be expected for new council people to go, I think, to the League's introduction on being a council member, and that they should apply through the clerk or through Anna, whomever, to know what it is, where it is, how much it costs, and then do we have to approve that as a council, or is that kind of a given, or would there be a set of rules like Maria?
Well, if the council has adopted a set of rules on this one, then the clerk could feel, or whoever's Mr. Bevick, they could then just administer it that way. But otherwise, you're going to put those people in a position of having to say, well, you can go on a $500 seminar, and can you go on a $200 convention? Or it's a very I don't think that the staff should be dealing with that without a policy in place.
Well, then I suggest we should look at the employee's handbook, and I don't know whether that would cover us as council members or not, but we should read into it to see.
Yeah, I agree. Taking a larger look at everything and what's missing instead of one bit at a time.
The employee handbook, I believe, is online. Not positive. But
no, I don't think it's online.
No, I don't think so.
And also look at what's been done in the past, how we have handled it, because for my part, I'm reluctant to take away something that employees, some little benefits or perks that employees have had for years.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's
makes for poor employee morale.
I'm not talking about this particular thing, and because if we were going to discuss and vote on this one matter, which we may or may not, I'm just suggesting think about this and set some protocol, but like Joe said, let's look at the whole thing and do it instead of one piece at a time. I mean, my personal opinion and my experience from working is you pay for your employees' professional development. Yeah. But my sense is let's step back and just get a full report and look at it in whole instead of piece by piece.
Then I don't know if we want to deal with this. I'll give the report because we have it on the agenda as new business also. But we did discuss a protocol, which that could be a trial protocol if the council were to determine they wanted to have agenda meetings. And the protocol that the committee recommended was agenda meetings will be held on the first Monday council meeting, but action may be taken to pay bills or deal with other matters that cannot wait until the fourth Monday. The second would be the agenda of the agenda meeting will automatically include committee reports, old business, and any action recommended by a committee, if known at that time. And the third point is that the public will be permitted to participate in discussion with the council, provided he or she raises his or her hand, is recognized by the chair, speaks at the microphone, and identifies him or herself.
That's similar to what Mr. Clark was talking about earlier, I believe.
Yeah.
Did you want to say something?
I was just going to say that's something, the set of rules on how the council operates is usually a resolution adopted by the council.
And as we had discussed at the last meeting, I think that this would be considered for, I don't know if we would consider it at the the reorg meeting, but somebody would have to draw up that protocol. I mean, I'd be happy to draw it up in a resolution if I had a sense of what the council thinks.
You know, just for the new council people, the reorg meeting is a difficult meeting to sort of debate issues at and have long discussions, for instance, about something like this. So this thing, something, these kinds of ideas and procedures should hopefully be vetted between now and then or afterwards, because at that meeting, those things
Well, the way we do it here is we have reorg followed immediately by regular council meeting.
Well, okay.
So reorg, you're doing your regular routine. And
no, I understand. There's a bunch of appointments and everything, and then you go forward. Okay, well, that's up to you. I was just trying to suggest that if you're going to have a debate at that time, it's probably better have it done
well,
in advance.
On Maureen's suggestion, could she put something together and bring that up at our last meeting in December, which might forward itself to the regular meeting after the reorg meeting, and then we could discuss it or vote on it then. Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a set of council rules that I wrote up. They might be not the ones that you want, but at least I'll give a basis for.
If it means we can go home early, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's between Christmas and New Year's is a meeting where no one's heart is really in it.
Mm-hmm. And Hanukkah.
Right. No, Hanukkah will be over by then. Do you want to continue, Maureen?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Purchasing protocol. Now, this is within the administration. The code does provide administration committee sets the purchasing protocol, is what my understanding is. And this is what I understood we agreed to. No discretionary purchases shall be made by any official, including a council member, unless the administration committee has previously approved the purchase. The request to purchase shall specify who wants to purchase and why. The request shall be by email. Now, this we didn't discuss. We did discuss it. We didn't reach it. I put for we did discuss having a threshold, and I put in my report of $1,000, but that's we didn't finalize that number. But that the procurement official, where an expenditure is over the threshold that we do set, the procurement official would obtain a minimum of 3 quotes in writing from vendors and forward by email those quotes to the administration committee, and state contracts shall routinely be checked and reported. So that was the purchasing protocol. Next, we did discuss the
Can I respond to the purchasing protocol just briefly?
Yes, of course.
I think it's too severe. That also, I mean, to state that no discretionary purchases shall be made by any official, including.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. That no discretionary purchases should be made by any borough official or council member without going through the administration committee.
Point of order on the discussion in the audience. I can't hear.
I'm sorry, you can't call a point of order for that. If there's an issue as to Robert's rules or as to the procedure,
I did ask for quiet.
Council, you
I
can
did
call a point of order. Otherwise, no.
I did ask for quiet, please.
Okay.
May I continue? That no discretionary purchases or orders be made by any official, including council members, unless the administration committee has previously approved such purchase. The request to purchase shall specify who wants to purchase and why each purchase is needed. I think it would really bog down. I mean, let's say a public works employee needs to buy a wrench and he needs it that day. They're not going to wait for a repair for the administration committee to sit down and say, why do you need a quarter inch box wrench? Did you get 3 quotes on it? I think that's way overboard. I also don't think it's an administration committee function. It's more finance. And I think that if you do that, although I think it's a good idea to put some sort of restrictions in here, if you do that and also have a expenditure limit of $1,000 and have to get 3 quotes, I think you're really going to tie people's hands together, and it's going to be hard to get things done in a timely fashion. Although I think the idea is good to come up with some limitations, I just think it needs to be reworked in committee to make sure that there are situations where you need to buy something to make something function that you don't have to run it through a committee first, to make sure that we can move ahead with things.
I'd be happy to do that, but I'm curious why you didn't raise this at the meeting that you attended.
Well, because I was sitting there and it was being pretty much, I think, the chair had an agenda and was running through everything that that they thought should be done. And quite frankly, I was sitting there thinking, I'd like to get the hell out of here because I think this is too much. And I was going to respond to it at a public meeting, not at a closed committee meeting where there wasn't the public. I want to do things here in this room with the public present. And I said, that's why I'm responding here and not in the committee. I don't want to argue in a committee and be there all night. I can't do that. I had several meetings right before that. But I just think it's too severe that really there needs to be some leeway so that people can spend money on things, and you need to have a little bit of trust that people won't abuse that right or that power. Because if you need something, you need it sometimes, and you need to fix it right away. That's just my opinion. I mean,
well, actually,
I'm just one council person. You know.
Actually, that was confirmed by the CFO, who said we would just be so mired in all the minutiae. He felt that was just not acceptable.
Well, I would like to clarify a point of order as to whether the administration committee has jurisdiction over that. And I just would also like to state that I don't see the point of having committee meetings if committee members withhold comments at the meeting and raise them. And it's fine to raise them at the public, but what's the point of having a committee meeting if we're not going to discuss them?
Do you want to go on, Maureen?
No, I'd like to clarify the code on it.
I didn't quite. I was listening, but I couldn't hear exactly a legal question.
I read under our code, and I'm going to try to open it up, that that procurement is under the administration committee. Purchase protocol is under.
Develop and recommend purchasing policies and procedures is one of the duties of the administration committee. That's correct.
We'll take this back to committee, but I don't. If we're not going to discuss it at the committee, then there's no point in discussing.
Well,
we'll discuss it.
I would like to have an agenda before we sit before I come into a meeting. I didn't have an agenda. I didn't know this was on the agenda. I would like to have a chance to take a look at things and really think them through. I'm a slow, methodical thinker who likes to see an agenda, think about it. Well, what's the pros and cons of this before we act? And that's one of the reasons why we want to do agenda meetings, so that we have time to process things and think about what are the ramifications, what are the unintended consequences of these things. I know the motivations are good. That's to save the borough money and to save taxpayers' money. But I want to make sure that it's practical, doable, because otherwise we're gonna do what we need to do, and then there's going to be problems because we're not following our own regulations and our own standards. So I want to make sure that whatever it is reality tested, and we look at all different sides of it.
Well, and the attorneys of
develop and recommend. I mean, you're just recommending to the council. The committee isn't sort of supervising and administering or actually adopting these things, but the committee can make recommendations to the council regarding procurement procedures. The Finance Committee isn't specifically charged with that, but I suppose if they want to make recommendations, they could make recommendations, too. I mean, I don't think that the categories are so tight.
Right.
It would be duplicative, but nevertheless. But, yes, it's definitely part of the role of the Administration Committee, too.
Well, I have a question, then. Who, at this point, supervises or controls a purchase?
Well,
does anyone know that?
Yeah, there's various steps all along
the
line.
Employee needs a wrench, for example.
I can answer that. I mean, basically, the mayor's the chief executive, and the mayor is in charge of managing the employees. And so that's where the buck stops. As a practical matter, I think certain – I think, because I'm not – It looks to me like in practice, a lot of those kinds of things are delegated to the clerk and to the purchasing agent, which I guess is Anna Devevic. So she has – that's the delegation there. But the responsibility lies with the mayor.
And I'd like to add to this that we had a conversation at an earlier council meeting where we discussed understanding what the purchasing and other protocols, financial checks and balances were. And this goes to this, and this also goes to not repeating the conversations. I think it would be wise to make some kind of motion to have whatever the purchasing, current purchasing policies and step-by-step protocol is, be very clear and written out and provided to the council, whatever they are, and then we could see if there's any holes in the system. But we did talk about this, and I don't want to really go over it again. This is getting back to that original question. Let's just have it written down and shared with the council so we could review it. Yeah. And that'll answer part of what this conversation is all about.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So could I make that motion?
I'll second it.
Who are you asking to do that?
The finance committee, I think, would be responsible, working with the administration committee.
Yeah, and also work our with financial the staff. Professionals, too, mm-hmm. or CFO. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, with the staff. I mean, the staff knows. Yeah. I think if it hasn't been clearly written down someplace,
we need to have a finance meeting, but we don't have a chair right now for finance, so that's why we haven't had a finance meeting.
Well, the purchase protocol is under administration, but would you ask?
Iris said that's loose. It's not strictly... All right, Maureen.
I'd be willing to take this on as an ad hoc. I know I'm not on the finance committee, but if you need someone to do it, I'd be happy to do it, to oversee it.
Well, we only have one more meeting before reorg, and at that point, all the committees will reform. So for one meeting at holiday time, I think, why don't we just wait until reorganization, then we'll have a firm idea. Not idea, we'll know what each committee is, you know, who's on,
right.
Who's the chair.
I mean, I do think that if you read the duties of the standing committees, mm-hmm. I mean, the administration, these issues do fall within the administration committee. I think it's pretty clear that at least the intention of the council when this administrative code was adopted was to have the administration committee deal with these sort of policies.
Well, perfect. So I make a motion that the administration committee take this on to have to capture whatever the various spending protocols and checks and balances, working with the staff and the CFO to present to the council if the next meeting is too soon, the following meeting. And it could be a draft. It's just...
Yeah, well, the chances are that... will administration even have another meeting before reorg? It's...
I think they should.
Well,
yes, we will.
Okay. Could you just... So it's a motion to capture protocols of purchasing...
Yeah, and spending, checks and balances. I mean, there might be a better word for it, but...
Existing, with the existing...
What's
process?
Existing now, so we could see if there's any holes.
Do we have a clear idea what's legal and how purchasing has to occur to be legal?
I
would suggest we have the chief financial officer or somebody here to...
I strongly suggest that we hold off until reorganization.
Why is it? I just want to know, why is it so complicated? I don't think it's that complicated.
The last meeting of the month is 2 days
if you make it complicated.
No, the law makes it complicated.
I don't think so.
Yes, it
it's
does.
Our government.
Yeah, but... We're not free to operate it the way we want.
Right. And
I'm not saying to operate the way we want.
Listen, I strongly recommend that we hold this off until January. No one's heart is in the next meeting, which is 2 days after Christmas, and some people go away. Some people, I would strongly recommend that this wait until we're only a couple weeks away from January.
Well, I have a motion. It could be voted down, but I'd like to make that motion.
Yeah, I seconded it.
Kathleen can read it back.
Protocols,
right.
Purchasing, spending, checks and balances.
In a draft form by the next meeting or the meeting after.
Well, could you pick one?
What are the dates?
Well, the next meeting's December 27th.
Okay.
The meeting after that is only January 2nd.
Okay,
so it's
December
27th. 4 days.
Four busy days.
Yeah. I agree.
She wants it by December 27th.
So can we have a vote on that?
So, Maureen, you seconded?
Yes.
So you want a roll call?
Yes.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Can I ask the chair that we move this along? We're in the second committee report.
I know.
It's after 9 o'clock. I just like to keep this moving forward.
Can we? Would it be okay with you if we table the rest of your report?
I would like the public to know about the accounts. So did spend quite a lot of time. Deirdre and I went through and looked at all of the Verizon and Comcast accounts. We went through the bill folders for the whole year, and I listed them all. We have 8 accounts with Verizon, separate accounts ranging from.
That's about what my phone bill is.
And I can, hopefully we can, well, would this be attached to the minutes, our committee report?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So can you just summarize
it? The total to Verizon that we pay each month with those 8 accounts is $1,082.03, it looks like, according to the bills that we looked at. And we also have a sewer plant internet with Comcast. I understand that, and that I wasn't aware of that until I looked at this, and because we also have a Fios internet for the sewer plant. So not only did we have 2 high-speed internets for Borough Hall, Comcast and Fios, but we also had the same 2 for the sewer plant. And I understand, based on conversation with the clerk, that the Comcast accounts were closed for those. So the only, as of whenever those were closed, we would only have the Fios for those. That's end of
what
report.
Are all the phone numbers? What do they represent? I mean, who's?
I didn't call them all, but they're on there. They're listed.
Well, I know they're on it, but what do they function as? Do you have any idea?
Well, I listed them on my report.
I know that they're listed, but what do they do? Are they used at the sewer treatment plant to get information from?
I just looked at the bills. Water plant telephone, sewer plant telephone. I didn't call them. I didn't have an opportunity to conduct a factual investigation beyond the bills.
If I may, Maureen, you did say here that you met or you called the Verizon account executive from Mid-Jersey.
I emailed him.
Okay. So once we get one of those people here, we can have them give us exactly what each one of these is for. But I do know that the sewer plant needs a certain amount of alarm stuff. The water plant needs alarm stuff. Toby's got to get in touch with his computers. And so I'm sure once we got the rep here, we could really suss.
Yeah, I think lift stations might have alarms on it, too, and may trigger out calls.
If a lift station's not operating. Can we move this along, please?
Okay.
So anything else, Maureen?
No, this end of the report.
Okay. And Councilmember Joe Trammell, Utilities.
All right. I'll try to make it short and sweet. There's a lot going on, though. During the course of the snow thing the other day, we accessed the reverse 911 system and used it for the recent snowstorm. We encourage everybody to sign up for it, and we'll probably do a flyer, put it in the bulletin to encourage people. Did everybody here get a call from?
Yes.
That's a good sign. Okay. Okay. Let's say. Okay, Larry Sir, the DEP representative who did the inquiry about the water plant, had written me a letter. Or Toby a letter a while back. I finally got a copy of it last week, I believe it was, on week before last, 11/29, when we met with Mayor Malkin and Councilperson Perot and myself and Toby and Carmela Roberts at the sewer plant, and we inspected the sewer plant. We have the full report from Larry about the water plants, about 20 pages, and it should be on the website tomorrow, as opposed to writing copying 20 pages of that. Okay, so from the inspection, it was noted that in the sewer plant, that the last time extensive repairs were done there was about 1992. So it's been pretty much crumbling ever since then. And, you know, I'm a big fan of, like, of preventive maintenance and things like that. So, you know, larger things were done back then. And, okay, so we inspected the plant. Problems included the muffin muncher that we've heard so much about. The blades do not chop through wipes. There was a conversation about how much it would cost to put a new one in. From the muffin muncher, the liquid goes to the auger. doesn't really work that well, and uses 20,000 gallons of water a day to try to make it work. Skimmer tanks are not functioning properly, so everything that's supposed to skim off, they actually do not skim anything off.
Or very little. Said this was going to be sweet.
Well, they call it sweet water in some places.
No, you said short and sweet.
Well, I'm halfway through, so... So the skimmer tanks do not work properly. One does not work at all. The trickle tanks are not working properly. And the inner part of the tanks, the concrete is peeling off and falling into the tanks, which makes the rest of the plant, like, almost inoperable. Sludge tanks must be pumped out very often and more. My conclusions were the plant, in my opinion, is working at best at about 20 to 50% efficiency. We're wasting a lot of fresh water to bring the exhausted liquids up to DEP standards. We're using a lot of chemicals to expedite the DEP standards. Want to take a look at that report that R3M put out so we can sit down and try to see what they saw. We do need, as per the DEP, a backup licensed operator for the water with at least a T1 certification. We will be speaking to people about that. Maintenance in general, routine maintenance and preventative maintenance needs a lot more attention. Repairs will be expensive and take time and should be approached in a methodical manner and be phased in. There's not much to be said about the shape of the sewer plant. Larry will do a full report, and as soon as I get that, as soon as it's released to me, I'll try to release it to the town and with suggestions. There's needs a lot of work. So, okay.
Thank you,
Joe. My report. Sorry, it's not as sweet as I'd like.
Yeah, it was short, but it wasn't sweet.
Yep.
I just wanted to add that there was a major project in 1992. That was done, and I think a lot of maintenance has been done on the plant, but it just the nature of an old plant is it needs a lot of maintenance the time.
It needs to be looked at, and there needs to be help there. It can't just be someone like Toby's age pretty much by himself with not any, you know, well, he needs assistance.
Yeah.
He needs assistance. Yeah. That's the bottom line, and that was one of the suggestions from the DEP, you know. And so, yeah, that's my report.
Okay. Thank you. Council Member Deirdre Sheehan, Environmental Health and Safety.
Yeah, I have nothing to report at this time.
Fine. Mm-hmm. And Council Member Robin Phillip, Community Development, Code Enforcement.
Very short. There hasn't been a meeting. There'll be another one planned soon. But I just wanted to, because I haven't had a chance to talk to IRS, see if there's any updates. What we were waiting to follow up on, based on the previous reports of the deli, looking into the various options we could put out to reoffer the liquor license at a lesser price than the original $150,000, and the you were going to review the land swap documents. I know it's two big things, but. I just wanted to get the status on that.
Okay, well, let me tell you the three.
You should go get them.
Oh.
And show them.
Yeah, well. I
understood
there.
That it's a lot.
Three
but
things.
We just want to see
the
where
issue
it is.
With the former deli there is that, I mean, it was an issue about whether or not people can live there. It's in a very small commercial zone that Roseville has, and a resident living there is not a permitted use, so if you
right,
have
it was more
to,
about the liquor license. We
well,
had
I'll get to
we,
that. I mean,
okay.
I just wanted to get all
okay.
the through.
Okay, sure, thank you.
So the only thing that can be used for, I mean, it's commercial use in store, as it is now. You would have to, if you were going to have an apartment there, you would have to either really change the ordinance.
Well, there is an apartment there. I'm sorry.
I know, but it's restricted under the zoning resolution.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the liquor license goes, so far, other than we've had found no records of, and I asked both Anna and Kathleen, and I've also looked a little bit myself. We haven't found any past records, correct, Kathleen?
No. The last email I sent you, there are some records.
Oh, you did send
some?
Yeah. Is that today?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. I'm sorry. I haven't seen
That's
it.
That's okay.
I hadn't seen any records about the history of the transfer of the license. I did have some records regarding the time that it was auctioned off. It was offered at $150,000,
yes.
but
yeah.
nobody took that offer.
Right.
But you had asked for some history and, you know, when was the license issued and what was the sort of history of it going forward, I think. And the
yeah,
price
I didn't. Somebody
for.
Else might have.
Well, in any case... there we couldn't find any information.
Yeah, I wanted you were going to look into two. You said there was two suggested ways you were going to recommend to the council to that we could present
the historical
liquor license
and the open bidding. That's it's not. I mean, these are ways that are embedded in the state statutes and in
okay.
what's called the ABC handbook, which is sort of the guide that for municipal clerks, which is the guide that we use, but. I did ask, and we are gathering this information, is to find out what these retail distribution licenses and those liquor store licenses are selling elsewhere. I know it's hard to compare from town to town, but we're trying to get some sense of it. So as of now, it's not the process of auctioning the license or of using the historical method, which is the method of seeking proposals and then evaluating each proposal. And the council would have to decide if they wanted to sell a license, which process to use. If you look at the state documents, they say the historical method and then in letters, not now, rarely used. It's almost never used because it has too much possibility of cronyism.
Well, what we're looking for is a way to go forward now with, based on the recent conversation that I reported on with the Gades, that they had, that they found, they had at least 10 potential renters, leases of the space to open a deli if they had a liquor license. And I had reported that in the earlier meeting. And they're willing to offer something or meet some level of payment if the borough was willing, because they'd already paid $50,000. That was the one that was rescinded. I went all over all this at that earlier
right.
meeting.
But the
we wanted to, yeah.
Well, $50,000 gone.
Yeah.
I mean, they
many
they,
years ago.
They allowed the license to lapse, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of, I mean, to actually lose the license isn't that easy. You really have to work at it.
But that's not the point. The point is that the town would like to have a deli. We have a person who lives in town that wants to open the deli, and we did offer the liquor license at $150,000, which nobody took. So how do we move forward now so that, I mean, it's who else in the town would want the liquor license? I want a constructive way to move forward.
Well, let
for
him
the
take
council
these,
to
these
move 10 forward.
People who are interested in having a deli and let them bid on the license.
I'd
the
actually
one
like
who pays
a serious
the most
recommendation.
Will get the license. Excuse me?
I would like a serious recommendation.
No, that was a serious. Honestly, I mean, if you put it out to public auction, the people who were interested in renting the store
anybody
might.
Could get,
I mean, it was serious. It wasn't supposed to be fun. It may not be the best way, or it might be the best way, but I meant it seriously. And then if you put a license out for public auction, somebody. Then the people who are interested in it could bid on it.
On a question there, does it have to be the owners of the property?
No.
What? Sorry?
Well, it does you not couldn't have to be the owners of the property that purchased the
but
license.
But this is another. Okay. So that's this was not mentioned at the last meeting. We did our best going out and having a public meeting to talk about where the community wants to go. The community would like the deli to open. We talked to a person who owns the property and met with us and is also a resident of Roosevelt. And I would like to have my question answered and for the council to move forward on having revisiting the cost of the liquor license to be not $150,000. I want to know what that process is.
Right. I thought, maybe I misunderstood, my recollection was that Mr. Krasick was going to give us a written outline of the...
Yes, that was my understanding, too.
The two procedures, but I would like those in writing.
Yes.
I'll give you straight out of the state handbook. There's a nice handbook which describes them in great detail.
Okay, could we have that?
Yeah, I'll email it to you tomorrow.
Thanks, it's been a while.
But the real issue is, again, is how you want to sell the license. You can set a minimum price, and you can't just sell it to the person that has the property.
I understand that.
What typically happens is people get interested in the property, and then they come and there are options. They get an option on the lease, whatever, for the property. Then they go out and try to get the license.
I just want to know.
As a business matter, that's how it's usually done.
I just want to know if you can share that information just for the council to we'll have to consider. Isn't that where the cost of the liquor license is determined by the council?
The council determines the minimum, can determine if
right.
it wishes, the minimum amount that it'll be sold for. You can decide that. And you could put out the public bid, but it's a threshold. The lowest bid is whatever number, 10,000, 50,000.
Okay, so I'd
whatever.
Like to put that on the agenda for the next meeting so we could determine that and move this forward.
Well, also, I'd like to reiterate, is there any way, I know we discussed this before, I'm not sure we had absolute decision on this, is there a way that we can have an assurance that there is a tenant for the deli without selling the liquor license back to them and then continuing to have an empty building?
Peggy, we're talking about putting this out to bid. We're not determining who's going to purchase it. So that's what I'd like to discuss. That's just that process. Nothing else. Nothing else.
So it would be up to the council to determine the minimum bid and then put it out.
If you can get us that information so that we can move this process forward and then we can discuss
the
bid.
I can do that. Mm-hmm. The information on sort of the market for liquor licenses and what the amounts are, that's a little harder.
I could do research on that on behalf of the committee.
Right.
It's not that hard.
Okay.
And also,
just to watch that you're not comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah. I'm good at that.
Okay.
So if you can just share that outline, because we've been waiting quite some time for that, and if it's really right in the handbook, it would be so great. And then the other thing is, and I know it'll take more time, is the reviewing all the documents for land swap, but, I want to just make sure that, that's completed and we can get the status on that because our committee already brought it to the council.
Mr. Shackley dropped the documents off today.
Great.
I'd say there's a pile about that high. I've actually gone through them briefly.
I believe it.
And I can... there are going to be a couple of issues, which I can just say. I'm not going to get into them because I really hadn't studied them. One is, to what extent, because it's been going on so long, or do things have to be redone? I don't know the answer to
that. You have to figure out which and what
sometimes,
they might be.
Sometimes Green Acres, things get stale and expire, and they require new appraisals.
Yeah.
And new this and that. I don't know if that's the case, so I don't want to. But I do know that the records we have really are mainly in 2014 and 2015, with a few things going into 2016. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be that could be an issue. And the other issue is that the council this council is going to have to adopt an ordinance at some point authorizing the swap. So
okay. Well, that'll come out of the review of all the documents if things went really far along, we know that. But then how long do you think you would need for your document review to report back to the council? What do you think?
Well, Yeah, it's not really so much. Yeah, the document review I can do easily. It's a question of really finding out which documents are still effective and which are not. Mm-hmm. So that takes, I would say, certainly several weeks. And I don't know, because I have to deal with Green Acres on that.
Sure. Okay.
So it might take 30 days or something, because this season is very
right.
It's hard to get them. But, I mean, there are appraisals, there are surveys, mm-hmm. there are subdivisions, there are planning board approvals. There,
right.
I mean, there's an awful lot that was done.
Sure. So you would say mid-January?
Yes.
Okay.
I can say that.
That's fair. Thank you.
On a quick question also about the deli, is it okay with what I read, at least with the on the deed, that an organization could be there, a nonprofit organization, as opposed to a resident? Because it's
upstairs,
a
you mean?
Upstairs, yeah.
Yeah, as for, I call it commercial, but it's non-commercial
exactly.
use.
Yeah.
But it's like a commercial
yeah.
use. Yeah, that wouldn't
not
be
a resident.
That's not a problem yeah. with the existing
yeah.
zone.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to be having a meeting soon to review the ordinances and discuss helping Mr. Masterson with his problem, which we know we can have an amicable between the hunters and the citizens of Roosevelt, an amicable way of resolution.
Not using names, please.
I'm so sorry I did that.
Okay, at this point, I'm going to take a five-minute break. Everyone can take a stretch, and I'm going to use the bathroom that isn't working. So, in 2.5 hours. Okay, we're up to old business. First on the agenda for old business.
Wait a second, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Report of borough officials.
Oh, we have none tonight.
We have none, yeah.
Okay, no reports of borough officials tonight. Now old business.
These were on from prior.
Yeah, these are on from prior agendas. Council agenda meetings. I think we kind of covered that somewhat.
Maureen.
I know. Maureen, did you want to say something?
No, we did. We covered the first two.
Yeah, that's okay. I just want to make sure you didn't have anything else. Citizen Advisory Committee.
I didn't. Okay, that was my suggestion, that we have a Citizen Advisory Committee to study staffing needs. I didn't sense that there was any desire on anybody else's part but me to do that. But so I didn't ask for it to be on here again.
Okay. I thought
everything was stable. That's why I moved in. Okay, implement online bill pay by January 1st.
Again, I thought that people did not want that. Maybe I'm wrong. The council did not want it.
Is that online bill pay, like paying your taxes with your credit card?
Well, water, sewer,
that
for sure.
That would be for
yeah,
the public to pay.
Sure.
No, I think there's a process that's underway.
Yeah, it's in the works.
It's
in the works, yeah.
Make
yeah.
sure that it works before
yeah.
we can.
Well, Sal and Jerry and George have to say that it's working for them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it is in the works. It's
yeah.
just not
yeah.
completed.
Mm-hmm.
And posting the invoices from the bill list to the borough website.
That was tabled. My motion to direct the staff and to put the bills on the website when they put the agenda up on it.
Are the bills on the website now, where they came in?
No. Only the council got them, and I made an Open Public Records Act request for them, so I got them. And then they were also included in the council packet, but they're not on the website because the council tabled the motion.
Does the public packet have copies of
no.
all the bills, too?
No.
No.
Then, Ira, is it legal or is it okay to put all of our invoices on the website?
As long as there aren't any social security numbers, yes, it's okay to put all the invoices on the website. There might be, and it'd be unusual, but there might be some redaction.
But our clerk, Kathleen, should know.
Yeah, it'd be rare. People don't usually put, you know, that kind of information on the bills anymore.
You know, some vendors might object to that, some vendors that we use, although that's not really our concern.
They're public documents.
But I know, but they might, because they might have different pricing structures depending on the size of the municipality or whatever. And so some town may look on our website and say, those sons of a guns, they're paying a lot less than we are over here from that same vendor. And you go back to the vendor, and the vendor could say, look, there's different pricing structures for depending on size. And I could see where that could be problematic, but again, that's not our concern. Our concern is to have outreach and let people be able to look at how the money's being spent.
Mm-hmm. So for the bills that we got in our council packet, did you scan them personally, or did the staff scan them, or what happened there?
Anna
scanned them? Mm-hmm. And just out of curiosity, about how long did it take her to do this?
That I do not know.
Okay.
And for old business, I just want to remind council members.
Are we done with that? I just want to know, posting the invoice to the website.
I have to remake the motion? It was tabled. Seconded last meeting. Do I have to make it again?
To make a motion.
No, I made the motion at the last meeting. It was tabled, so do I have to make it again?
Yeah. Technically, you have to make a motion to take it off the table. And then if that passes, then you can vote on the motion. That's how Robert's rules were. You could also make the motion again.
Well, then I'll make the motion again. And again, I'll just clarify that since they are public documents and anyone can get them immediately in the format requested under the Open Public Records Act, that the issue here is not whether or not staff will scan the documents, because that's required by law when a request is made. The issue here is whether the public will be able to see those bills easily without having to come to Borough Hall and sit here and look at them all.
That's not part of the four old businesses, right? That was, right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
Implementation of online bill pay?
That's
old business.
That was, we got
to.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Right. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
He's good.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay, I just want to remind council members that sometimes when citizens want to express concern about something and they want to remain anonymous, we need to respect the right of them to remain anonymous for their own personal safety and reasons. And people may want to put their concerns in a letter or publication, they may want to attend a meeting, but we need to make sure that we respect their privacy at all times. So, no names, and just please keep that in mind.
Under new business, I'd like to make a motion to approve the usage of Borough Hall by the Roosevelt First Aid Squad on the following dates from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. as listed on the agenda.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Someone like to move number two?
Come on, don't fall asleep. Somebody, usage of Borough Hall, I'd like to make a motion to approve usage of Borough Hall from Janet Aitke, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
34 Tamara Drive, request that the Borough Hall be used for a party Sunday, February 4, 2018, and Sunday, February 11th. Two parties. Set up time 7 a.m. Party to start from 3 p.m. 10 p.m.
That's late on a Sunday.
Start startup set up at 7 a.m. for a party that starts at 3. All right, well, if there's no other thing happening at Borough Hall on that Sunday, fine.
No, Anna has checked in. I have her application and her deposit, you know, security deposit.
Okay, I made the motion.
Second? For this party? Two parties?
I'll second it, but having taken the trash out here quite a few times, could we require that they empty all the trash cans and put it into the, you know, the trash things in the back
I
there?
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Do we know, I know this is silly, but it's weird, odd to me that you're having two parties in 1 month for such a long amount of time, and the setup time is
so early.
Like early in the morning, so
I don't think they're required to give us a reason for the party, just that something that we don't know.
Is the rentals
I thought it was a little odd too. It seems like
I think we all thought it was odd, but
she said time of usage all day, time for setup in the morning, baby shower at 3 to 10 p.m.
Two baby showers?
Wow.
You know,
twins.
That's a long
it's twins.
That's
and then
what's
baby
on her application.
Baby shower and second baby shower?
That's what I said. It must
seven
be twins.
That's on a weekend. Somebody's going to be here to open up and close.
She did have 7 a.m. on her initial email. On the form, it just says time for setup in the morning. Baby shower at 3 to 10 p.m., including cleanup time. Decorating.
Hey,
but two.
It,
then the party.
They pay taxes.
Up.
It's her. It's her facility too. So if you want to approve it, let's approve it. If not,
it's just curiosity to me. That's fine.
All right. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Number three.
Make a motion to approve usage of Borough Hall by Tai Chi. Request every Wednesday morning from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. and every Thursday evening from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. for the calendar year 2018.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Number four. Anybody? Ferris? Anybody?
This is just an FYI thing.
That
there is
came
a
from Maureen.
Is that the League of Municipalities?
Yes. I had requested the League of Municipalities has on, I think it's January 6th. I think I got an email.
6th or the 20th. I'm not sure.
Oh, there are two dates, right. One was the 6th, and that was the one I looked at. And I was going to attend, but I don't think I'm going to be able to attend it. So I don't know if anybody else wants to attend it.
They're like $100 a pop or something
that. It was $130.
Okay. When do we need to let them know? Does anybody know? You can register the week before.
I know usually they give you pretty much.
Its member rate is $130. And I would do sooner the better, but
is that mandatory now for newly elected officials or not?
Not mandatory.
I think so.
No.
And it's all the way down.
Highly recommended, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where is it, Joe?
It's all the way down by Mount Laurel. I think it's exit
right?
4 on the turnpike or something like that. Yeah. Route 70. It's near Route 70 and 73, I think.
Yeah.
It's on the website.
It's like Cherry Hill.
Mm-hmm. Was it? Okay. Yeah. You can withdraw. I'm not going to attend. I can't attend. So.
But if anybody else wants to, you got to let Anna know.
Okay.
Is that what day of the week is that?
You said the 6th and the 20th.
6th.
Well, the 2nd's a Tuesday. So the 4th is Thursday. So it's a Saturday.
You guys should go.
January
6th. Yeah, just go on the website.
No, just you can tell Anna and fill out the form.
Okay, we are up to the public comment portion. Who would like to speak? Anyone who hasn't spoken?
First, open it up. It's a completely different at 9:40.
I meant everyone sitting here. I would still give someone a chance to go first if they haven't spoken yet. Oh, yeah. There's
Sorry, public comment closed.
Yeah. Jeff Ellentuck, 40 Pine Drive. I'm sorry, but sometimes I want to bang my head against the wall, as I just said to Mike. Okay. My number in the record, 609 4448-4440. And I can tell you the exact status of the land swap. I can tell you the history of the liquor license, so we don't have to pay this nice gentleman over here to have to go through all those documents again. I can tell you about the auger. I can tell you about the telephone numbers. Sorry. Okay. We have two sets, Comcast and Verizon. Historically, we had Comcast. Every time we have a storm, Comcast goes out. So we had a couple of problems. Number one, Comcast does not work in a heavy storm. Never does. It's the first thing to go out. Verizon keeps working. The second problem we have is we have no visual, no audio, whatever, in the sewer plant or the water plant. And since we had a 70-some-odd-year-old operator in the sewer plant walking up and down Metal's stairs, the concern was that he was going to fall down and we weren't going to know for 3 days because that's how long it often takes for somebody to go in there. So we put in Verizon. We were going to pull out Comcast. It took a while for people to transition their email addresses. Comcast should be out of there. As far as the rest of the bill, AT&T charges us for, I believe, either 5 or 7 numbers. Each one of those numbers was under an old contract that must have been signed in 1982 because it provides that you have local service and long-distance service. Long-distance service is defined as Princeton, Trenton, Allentown. Okay? You need to get rid of that for $30 a month or $40 a month. Verizon will give you unlimited calls. We can get rid of all of those lines. That's what we were trying to do. So you really do need to talk about somebody to get video into the water plant and the sewer plant. It's also becoming a requirement of Homeland Security, which is the other reason that we were putting it in, to point both into the building for the safety of the workers and outside for the safety of the physical plant. I don't know what we're talking about with the $150,000 for the liquor license. It went out originally at $150,000 almost 5 years ago. It was recast at $50,000 as the minimum bid. We had one bid. That came in from Gade. Gade no longer has that license because we sued them, because they had promised, and as a condition to that, or one of the reasons we chose them, was because they were going to open the deli. They promised us again and again and again that they had a lease, they had a lease, they had a lease. They never came through. So eventually we sued them. It is entirely possible that ABC Commissioner will not let them have the license again, because once you sue them and the ABC Commissioner and the administrative judge agrees that they have been underperforming, it may be exceedingly difficult for them to get another license, so we need to take that into consideration. But the process is all laid out in the court records from when we filed with the administrative judge at the ABC and with the commissioner, and I'm sure we can get a hold of those. As far as the land swap goes, everything was done, including the 9 months of putting up a sign, with the exception of the state has a certain period of time in which to review it. This is all sitting with the state. At the last I checked, there was nothing we needed to do other than to call them up on a regular basis and bug them. Which I think probably Rich Shackley has the right number to call, but it'll be in the record somewhere. Okay. Sewer plant needs work. Yeah. Estimate $3 to $5 million over the next 5 years. The auger. Before you put in a new auger, before you do anything with the auger, talk to Toby. The insistence of the engineer to put the auger in is one of the reasons the engineer is no longer here. What Toby asked for was a bar screen cleaner. Bar screen cleaner is a simple bar that as the stuff comes in, the bar goes up and down and clears anything that's on the screen that's filtering it. Mm-hmm. There was an insistence on an auger. Every town that's had the auger installed, and there are many of them, are having incredible problems with them. Getting a new one will simply buy you a newer problem.
Never suggested getting a new one. Had a long
Joe,
talk
please,
with Carmella
Joe.
About the one
Joe.
That's there.
Okay. Joe,
I'm sorry.
Please.
I'm just
no comments
okay.
on the table.
Wasn't suggesting you did. Just keep that in mind. ABC. You don't have to make, if you're on the Finance Committee, certainly if you're on the Finance
Direct
Committee.
Your comments to the chair.
Certainly, if Ms. Parrott is on the Finance Committee or Administration, she doesn't have to make an OPA request for the current bill she's supposed to be reviewing. any person in town can do an email request and have it sent to them. So, but we keep having a conversation, I heard it on the tape from the last meeting, about the fact that there is no procedure for approving bills. There is, in fact, a procedure for approving bills. The guy's got to go back and look in the records. We adopted one probably 5 years ago. It was adopted in coordination with me and the then head of the Finance Committee. And what it says is that no purchases shall be made unless it is first approved by the head of the relevant committee. If the head of the relevant committee is not there, I believe the two remaining people have to agree to the payment, and if they are not available or there is a problem, it then goes to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee determines whether or not it's an appropriate purchase. That's what it says. Whether you want to change it or not is a whole different issue, but it does exist. It was adopted as a temporary measure. See, none of the stuff I was going to say I get to say because I'm going through all this. You mentioned that Greg Poziel is working two jobs. Sorry, Mike mentioned that Mr. Poziel is already working for the town. I like Greg. He's my next-door neighbor. The one thing to be very much aware of is if you have him do two jobs and they add up to more than the minimum,
yep,
it's full-time.
That's right.
And you could be subject to a lawsuit.
Yep.
But you're probably aware of that. The generators are 208 volt generators.
Please direct your comments to the chair.
I am. I'm just looking at other people as I do it. Okay. I'm not asking them any questions. I'm not asking them for a response. I don't have to look at you. Those aren't the rules. Okay. Anyway, the generators are 208 volt generators. Put another way, nobody's made a 208 volt generator in 40 or 50 years. Those generators need to be maintained as much as possible. The last time we had a storm, we had somebody out there jury-rigging it with an automobile battery because they didn't go on. So I'm not surprised that it's going to require maintenance, but unless you're willing to replace the entire generator, as with the sewer plant, many parts are so old that they have to be fashioned from nothing. So it's not like you go down to the store and you say, I need a widget, and you can get a widget. Doesn't work that way. In many cases, you actually have to fashion the widget, which makes it very expensive. In one of the discussions we had with the engineers, I believe it was Carmela Roberts 4 or 5 years ago, we talked about replacing them. We put them on the back burner, but at some point you're going to have to either do a lot of work or you're going to have to replace them. And this is the stuff that I'm just going through the stuff that you guys brought up. Millings. I don't know if you're doing anything about the millings at the water tower, but we are required by law to do that. We got a couple of bids to do that work. I will tell you that one of our surrounding towns is just being fined by the DEP for having millings at a water tower next to Green Acres. Surprisingly, we have millings at a water tower right next to Green Acres. So you need to get on that. The other thing is, and I know we've gone around a couple of times on this, Allentown is being fined for not doing an I&I study, and there is an estimate from Carmela Roberts for the first two phases of that I&I study, which are about $85,000. So while you may not believe that they're going to do it, the DEP is going to come in for the failure to do the I&I study, and they're starting on the panhandle, and they're already fining people. So I think you need to figure out how that's going to get handled. Very shortly, the things that I wanted to talk about when I first came in here is, I'm sorry I didn't attend the meeting last week or less time. I'm not sure you're sorry, but I did listen to the tapes. A couple of things. One of the great things about the country, and particularly Roosevelt, is active democracy, and it is the First Amendment. And I heard a lot of complaining about people not liking what was on various websites and what various people were saying. And my response, with all due respect, having sat up there, having been yelled at, having had incredibly nasty things written about me, is get over it. You're elected officials. People are not going to agree with you. They're going to say things that insult you. They're going to say things that hurt you and your family. They're going to say things that you just wouldn't believe would come from your neighbors. And you're going to sit there, and you're going to take it, because that's what we do. That's what I did. That's what you guys do. And one of the reasons for that is right now, you know, you're getting chastised for various things. I always like to think of the that whole thing about Joe McCarthy, right? The pendulum always swings both ways. And what I'm saying is I'm a very, very strong believer and defender of the First Amendment, and whether I like what the person is saying or not. But you can't, you're the government. You can't shut down a website. You just can't, unless they are committing a crime, which is not happening. It just doesn't work that way. And Joe, I heard you talk about...
Me?
I heard Joe talk about the fact that being on the council is sometimes a lot of work. It is a lot of work. For 12 years, I did it. It was a lot of work. I think most of you, if not all of you, are not currently holding full-time jobs. This isn't meant as bragging, but I started two industries and three companies during those 10 years, and I managed to put in 20 to 60 hours a week here. Okay? You can do it. It's how Roosevelt has always been run. You don't need to hire somebody. You don't need to hire an administrator. Okay? You guys can administer. You're perfectly capable of doing it. It's just a question of time. And if we're trying to save money in this town, which seems to be something that we're focused on, we haven't needed an administrator for the past 80 years. We've had a couple. But we've had three. Okay. But all the rest of the time, it's been run by us. So, lastly, we have an employment manual. Please go back and look at the old records. For the past 12 years, we are not sitting here and twiddling our thumbs. There is an employment agreement that every employee signs. And if you change the procedures in that and you don't do it by adopting a new employment agreement or an amendment to an employment agreement that they sign, as I'm sure your counsel will tell you, you run substantial risks of being unhappily sued. So I suggest that, you know, you go through the employment agreement carefully. If there are changes you want to make, make them. But don't do them ad hoc. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob Clark, Lake Drive. I think that you should reconsider putting the bills on the website. I think it's not that much work. I think it's a rote task, but just about every employee of the Borough of Roosevelt does some rote task of one form or another, and I think that it will assist the people who are members of the public to determine if the expenditures of the borough are worth expending, and it will encourage them to ask for explanations when they don't understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Anyone else? Public portion is closed at
9:58.
Do we need a closed session? Anyone see the need for a closed session?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
One more thing.
Oh. No, we forgot home. I forgot to give homework.
No.
Disclose your attorney bills because you're using the attorney client.
Yeah.
Or the medical bills.
Yeah. Hightstown Fire Department says that they would like to take some of the old fire equipment. I suggest that we inventory it, take pictures of it, and offer it to them. Okay.
We just do that by agreement.
To another department, right? To another fire department. We don't have to go through the surplusing
procedures.
Okay.
Okay. So we donated to them.
So is everyone in agreement with that, donating whatever Heights Town would like that we have?
And what if there is items there that they don't want? What do we do with that? Because I think we should clear it all out.
Yeah. We're looking at the stuff that they don't want to offer it to other fire departments, to the county fire marshal.
Or the academy, fire academy.
Yeah, fire academy, and everybody we can, EMS, and then beyond that, it becomes like...
Well, beyond that, you would auction it off, depending on what it is.
Apparently, there's nothing worth over $200 that hasn't been auctioned off or given to the fire departments already. So
I guess once you do the inventory, you'll have a clear, probably a good idea.
So tomorrow he might come and start moving some of the stuff to Hightstown. I'd like to inventory what goes out, and he's taking some fleet equipment also.
Well, you just want to have something formal, so that, yeah, you know, you're giving it to
Hightstown. Hightstown was given this by Roosevelt, and these are the items.
Exactly. Yeah. So that there's a record that it didn't go to a private party first.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Is there going to be a public works? Who's going to be inventory?
Actually, I spoke with Dave Curtis about that earlier, if he's available when they come through or whomever else is available. Tomorrow I'll be out of town, so I can't do it myself. So, yeah. Okay.
Will you be available, Dave?
School.
Dave Curtis. Mike, can you adjourn again? Can we have your motion to adjourn again?
I move that we adjourn.
So moved again.
That's good.
So seconded.
Got meeting adjourned.
Mm-hmm. I'm out. 10 p.m.
Over an hour earlier than last time.
I know a few of them.